If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Women who eat red meat every day nearly double their risk of breast cancer. A study done by Harvard Medical of 90,000 women found women who ate red meat 1.5 servings a day were most at risk. Another study says vitamin C might help mitigate some of that risk, even though by and large vitamin oxidant or antioxidant supplements do little good in preventing cancer. Vitamin C did make a big difference in stroke risks, 42% lower. CBS's John Harchi tells us about a new health warning for patients taking Tamiflu.
Following reports of 103 new cases of bizarre behavior in people taking Tamiflu, the FDA has approved a new supplemental information sheet that goes with the drug. It includes a precaution about neuropsychiatric events. Most of the behavior problems were in Japan and included self-injury and delirium. Though the FDA says it doesn't know if the drug caused the incidents, patients should be monitored when they start Tamiflu, since the events happened after 1 or 2 doses.
A new bipartisan panel named by Congress has begun its work on U.S. strategy in Iraq.
9 of the 10 members of the bipartisan panel spent nearly 8 hours at the White House in sessions with the President, the Secretaries of State and Defense, and the Director of National Intelligence, all behind closed doors. President Bush says he welcomes their recommendations, but spokesman Tony Snow says there's no commitment to accept them.
We don't know what they're going to say. I mean, it's very difficult to try to assess a report that we haven't seen and that for good reason the members of the commission have not shared with the president or anyone else.
The panel's ideas on Iraq are due before the end of the year. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani has taken the first step toward a 2008 presidential race. He's filed papers to create an exploratory committee. Political consultant Dottie Lynch.
Giuliani actually leads in some of the trial heats for president right now. Part of that is name recognition. A lot of it has to do with 9/11. But he and John McCain are really the two big Republican frontrunners.
Remembering Martin Luther King Jr. forever in Washington. Ground was broken today for a memorial.
Everywhere he went, he was harassed and persecuted and lived constantly under the threat of death. But he said, ultimately, if a man hasn't found something he's willing to die for, he's not fit to live anyway.
That's Andrew Young, former ambassador, former mayor of Atlanta, friend of Martin Luther King Jr. If you have the right to smoke marijuana, you ought to be able to toke up at work, says the judge. Two professors in Canada at the University of Toronto are getting specially ventilated rooms to allow them to seek relief in peace. One professor is Brian McLean, criminology professor at York University. Pot seems to help his arthritis. He uses a high-tech bong. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 23 points, NASDAQ up 16, and oil prices, $58.58 a barrel, down a dollar and a penny. This is CBS News.
To withdraw, to go away, to disappear. That's how the dictionary defines retirement. Time to redefine. Your generation's definitely not headed for bingo night. In fact, you could write a book about how you're going to turn retirement upside down.
The best book on retirement is the one you'll write, The Dream Book from Ameriprise Financial. To talk with an advisor near you about your retirement dreams, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE today.
Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member NASD and SIPC.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
The health effects. That's what concerns me.
Last night, Brian went to philipmorrisusa.com.
There's a lot of information there, but for me it all came down to this. There is no safe cigarette.
Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. If you'd like more information on the health effects of smoking, as well as links for smokers who've decided to quit, find out more. Visit philipmorrisusa.com.
In some Philadelphia suburbs, parents of teenagers stopped for speeding don't even find out about it. But that's changing.
If you let your teen get behind the wheel, don't you want to know if he or she gets a speeding ticket? State police based out of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania figure it wouldn't hurt to tell you. Lieutenant Dirk Yarez says Operation Safe Teen means a quick phone call.
Crashes, usually the parents will find out about, but the traffic violations are more of a concern. And frequently the parents don't find out about it until there's some administrative action.
Besides getting the young offenders to let their feet off the gas a little more in the future, the program's also meant to be a deterrent. Kids may be a little more careful if they know the cops will rat them out to mom and dad. Sonia Rincon, CBS News, Philadelphia.
Researchers tell the American Heart Association even protective gear may not keep a child alive if a blow to the chest is hard enough to stop the heart. 53% of the time, deaths of young people from a blow to the chest happened accidentally at home or in recreational sports activities. 47% were in organized sports, uniforms, pads, and all. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and we originate on the left coast, featuring those Nancy Pelosi San Francisco values. So popular in the Republican focus group. As usual, we've got an outline of where we're going today, but we fill it in with your phone calls. Got some great people to talk with. Matt Rothschild returns in about a half an hour. He's the editor of The Progressive. We're going to talk about the developments in the Middle East while we've been focused on our elections here at home. Tom Engelhard, he is a writer and editor. His book, Mission Unaccomplished, is out in paperback. And he's also the proprietor of TomDispatch.com. He's going to be with us in our second hour today. And then we open up the phone lines in the free speech zone to talk with you about any issues in the news, including... Have the airlines lost your luggage recently? It's gotten worse and worse and worse. We'll talk about that, among other issues. But we kick off the show on Mondays with a visit from Jameson Foser at Media Matters for America. Today, he is our media man. I said that. Thank you, Flash. Our lines are open if you'd like to talk with us about the media or anything else that's on your mind. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And you can also email me 24/7, peter@peterbcollins.com. J-Mo Foser, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Peter?
Not too bad. I recovered from a weekend of recovery. And it was very much needed. I wanted to start off, J-Mo, with my thumping that I personally took last week, because I have to express that I was, frankly, surprised when, on Wednesday morning, George W. Bush announced that the Republicans had taken a thumping and decided that Don Rumsfeld was going to get thumped out of the administration. And the reason I felt thumped myself was that I've examined my conscience, and I actually believed Bush the week before when he said that Cheney and Rumsfeld would be there until the end of his term.
That's going to be a lesson for you, I guess, Peter.
Well, but beyond my own thumping and misdirection there, I feel that our media failed to point out an acknowledged lie by the President of the United States.
Yeah, you know, Bush in that press conference not only talked about replacing Rumsfeld, but he acknowledged that earlier, a week earlier, 2 weeks earlier, when he had said that Rumsfeld would stay around, that at that time he had already decided that Rumsfeld was going to go. That's a lie. That's the President acknowledged that he had lied to reporters and to the American people. And you don't get a more clear-cut case than that. He admitted it.
And then he rationalized it.
He said, admitted it and he rationalized it.
He said if he had
replaced Rumsfeld before the election, it would have politicized things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a little bit surprising to see the news media fall all over themselves to describe what Bush had done as anything other than a lie. They said he fudged, he was disingenuous, he wasn't forthcoming. He lied.
Mm-hmm.
He lied. And, you know, we know how the Washington political media reacted when Bill Clinton lied. David Broder very famously said, "Washington's a different kind of town. We don't like it when we're lied to here." Well, that was when Bill Clinton was the president. When George Bush was the president, they fall over backwards trying to excuse it and downplay it and explain it away. It was actually incredible to see David Gregory of NBC yesterday on Meet the Press was asked, you know, does this damage Bush's credibility with the press corps? And he said, well, you know, I don't know. He kind of hedged on it. He wouldn't say. And then he offered Bush's argument for him. He said, you know, it's certainly true that if Bush had done this before the election, it would have politicized things.
Well, wouldn't it have been an exercise in democracy that the voters would have gone into the booth with knowledge of the president's intentions? I mean, he's been dancing around with all this vague talk about changing the policy and being open to new ideas, even as he's ruled out ideas like firing Rumsfeld. And so it just strikes me that the president has been flatly disingenuous, that he told this lie and then admitted it and rationalized it. And, you know, we treat it like a Lee Marvin idle male promise.
You know, there's actually a little bit of an update to this story in that Dan Bartlett, the White House counselor, was on Fox News Sunday yesterday. And he once again gave the Bush line that the president didn't tell the country about this because he didn't want to seem to be injecting politics. And then he went on to say it would have looked like the decision was made based on political motivations, not on the security interests of our country. And I think that would have weakened the president and Republican support going down the stretch of this campaign. What Dan Bartlett's saying there is, we didn't want to tell anybody about this because it would have looked like we were making the decision based on political calculations. We didn't want that to look like that. We wanted to actually make it based on political calculations. He admitted that. He said it would have weakened our candidates.
Yeah.
He is admitting that political calculations were at play here, and Chris Wallace just sort of sat there and let him, you know, basically contradict himself.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't push him on that.
Yeah. I just don't know why they're not fighting for the truth and they're accepting something that doesn't even have the ring of truthiness to it, to borrow Colbert's phrase.
Well, that's a good question. And again, it's in stark contrast to the way we saw them treat Bill Clinton for many years and, mm-hmm. and many other politicians. There's some strange code that I wish we could crack to figure out when the media is going to care about politicians lying and when they aren't.
Yeah.
I guess you need kind of a secret decoder ring.
We're talking with Jame Ophoser from Media Matters for America. If you've never been to their website, next time you're online, you've got to visit mediamatters.org. They do a great job of covering the coverage and analyzing where it goes wrong, both in print and broadcast. Now, let's turn to the cover of Time magazine. After the Gingrich Revolution in 1994, their cover title or headline was far different from the one that's going to appear this week after the Democratic midterm victory.
Yeah, the 1994 Time cover, this is the first cover after Republicans won control of Congress. The headline in all caps was GOP Stampede, a special report, and there was a drawing of a stampeding elephant that is squashing a donkey under its left foot as it runs towards us. It's this full cover, you know, elephant on the rampage. The current issue of Time, with their special report, The Midterms, that's the headline, pictures two circles, a red circle and a blue circle, slightly overlapping in what's known as a Venn diagram. And the headline is, "Why the Center is the New Place to Be." There is absolutely nothing on this cover that indicates that Democrats won. Nothing on this cover certainly that indicates that they won convincingly, and obviously nothing on the cover that indicates that they won convincingly with a whole bunch of candidates who were opposed to the Iraq war and are pro-choice and want to raise the minimum wage and hold all kinds of traditional Democratic beliefs. Instead, it suggests that what happened on Tuesday was that voters pretty much equally liked the centers of both parties.
That's fascinating spin.
Yeah, so it's not only not at all a reflection of what happened on Tuesday. And, in fact, Greg Sargent, who's a journalist and blogger, has pointed out at the American Prospects webpage that that cover doesn't even accurately reflect the article that it refers to. that the article that it refers to doesn't make the case that somehow the center was ascendant on Tuesday. But it's also in stark contrast to the way they treated the Republican takeover in 1994 when that was the story, Republicans taking over, Democrats being crushed. Well, that's what happened last Tuesday, just in the reverse. Democrats won control of both houses of Congress. They picked up six governorships. They won state legislative races. They won at pretty much every level and in fairly convincing fashion. And they won in places like the 2nd Congressional District of Kansas, where they haven't won in a long time. And Time, instead of telling that story, has this cover that suggests that, you know, that Republicans and Democrats pretty much split things equally.
You know, the problem you described where the cover headline information doesn't match the story that it allegedly refers to. I had that same disconnect at the check stand yesterday because there's a tabloid story that Katie Couric is about to be fired by CBS and removed from the anchor chair due to low ratings. And it said that on the cover, but I couldn't find the story anywhere inside in the 45 seconds that I had at the check stand. Maybe it's there, but I couldn't find it. Have you heard that rumor, or am I just...
I haven't heard the rumor, though. I saw exactly the same headline on exactly the same tabloid in the grocery store yesterday myself. So.
Okay. Well, we'll just consider the source. We're going to take a break and return with Jameson Foser from Media Matters at mediamatters.org. And we'll take some phone calls, too, if you'd like to join us. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372 here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Ouch! I'm tired of all these old TVs and computers trashing our garage. Can't we get rid of them once and for all?
I'd love to, honey, but it costs so much to get rid of them.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you can dispose of your electronic waste, TVs, monitors, old computers, and more, and it won't cost you a dime. Bring them to the Monterey Fairgrounds, and the garage will be yours again. The Electronic Waste Disposal event is happening this Friday through Sunday,
November 17th, 18th, and 19th,
at the Monterey Fairgrounds in Monterey. Go to noewaste.com for more information. That's noewaste.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
20 minutes past the hour. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where you can reach us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We continue with Jameson J-Mo Foser from Media Matters for America. And J-Mo, you had another comment about the Time magazine cover comparison?
Yeah, one of the interesting things that we've seen a lot of since Election Day was a lot of reporting about this notion that Democrats won by running to the center or moderating themselves or being centrist, and this Time cover kind of plays into that. And what's interesting about it is that it's true in that national Democratic leaders, the Democrats in Congress by and large, are a very moderate and centrist group, as they always have been, or have been at least for the last decade or so. Their positions on reproductive choice and health care and education and the war in Iraq and stem cell research and raising the minimum wage and any number of other issues are supported by the majority of the American people. What's not true is the suggestion that they have changed their views in order to get elected, that they ran towards the middle or ran towards the right. The reality is that they've had positions for a decade and longer that have the support of most of the American people. So when you hear those descriptions, it's not really accurate. They didn't change their positions. The new group of newly elected Democrats aren't out of step with where Democrats have been. It's just that they've been described inaccurately by the national media for quite some time as, you know, a bunch of crazy liberals for supporting things like raising the minimum wage.
Well, that's a good point. And the media continues to rely on the most jaundiced definition of the term liberal, the one used in Republican attack ads. And that passes for, honest description or honest labeling in today's environment. And I can remember in the mid-90s when the Republicans would be on the attack and everything Clinton did was liberal. And as a true liberal, I was offended because, you know, welfare reform was not a liberal move. Yet that was the tag that was successfully attached to virtually everything Clinton.
You know, just 2 weeks ago, every Republican in the country was running against their Democratic opponent by saying that the opponent was too liberal. And now they're saying that Democrats won by acting like Republicans and by being, you know, by running to the right.
Yep.
I think it tells you something when you think about where that spin's coming from.
Rich joins us on the line from Chandler, Arizona. Hello, Rich. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with J-Mo Foser.
Hello, Peter B. and J-Mo.
Hi.
I do agree with you in the respect that... Yes, we have not changed. They have not changed. America has awoken finally. Here's a question. We're all elated. We're kicking our heels up over the election of last week. Now, let me throw this at you and tell me what the ramifications might be. Our wonderful Joe Lieberman, who today was on CNN, and they're querying him, are you going to stay and vote Democratic? And he says, of course, yes. Now, of course, we believe everything Joe says, right?
Okay.
What if Lieberman in the next few months says, and is this a possibility, that I am not going to affiliate myself independently, I am going to put an R after my name?
Well,
does that in turn give the Senate back to the Republicans and keep Bill Frist as the majority leader.
Well, Frist is retired, so it would
okay,
be
right.
It would be someone else. Let me just report that in contrast to what you just described, Joe Lieberman, according to the AP, said yesterday he'll caucus with Democrats, but he would not rule out switching to the Republican caucus if he starts to feel uncomfortable among the Democrats. I'm not sure how that is defined down the road.
Isn't he a little uncomfortable with the Democrats in the respect that Ned Lamont got the D nomination in the primary?
Mm-hmm.
So he already has a reason to feel somewhat uncomfortable with the Democrats.
So he does have leverage here, JMO, because Rich has the right point that if Lieberman defected, then a Senate vote by the vice president would break a tie, and we'd be at dead even, right?
Right. That is what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think it's a little bit unlikely and a little bit of a, CNN all day today has been sort of pushing that storyline, and I kind of think it's a bit of a media-created storyline. I watched him yesterday on Meet the Press, and I didn't see what he was saying as that much of a threat.
Mm-hmm.
My personal guess is that if he was going to do that, it would make sense to do it sooner rather than later and not wait, a year down the road. I think to some extent we're seeing some media hype on this. They want to write a, Democrats in disarray story. It's really what they enjoy doing. It could happen, and I don't have any knowledge of what he's really thinking now or will in the future or whether those are the same things.
One last question with the new Congress. As we have always seen with the last 6 years, and there be any kind of vote in the Senate, and you would see votes for Republican 100% Bush, and Democrats, some of them going to the Republican side. What are we going to see in the new Congress? Are we going to see more, again, straight Republican accord with George Bush and anything that he is voting for, and some of the Democrats straying over again, once again giving Bush what he wants?
Well, I can't predict explicitly. I can tell you that Rush Limbaugh was celebrating last week that he is now a free man, and he's free to criticize the Republicans. And I also think that a lot of people are losing their party discipline there. Your comment, JMO?
Well, I saw those Limbaugh comments, too, and they were a little bit amusing. It'll be interesting to see if he actually does that going forward. If he actually does criticize Republicans, I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great day when that starts to happen.
But speaking of the new Congress, one of the things that's kind of gotten lost amidst all these stories about Democrats supposedly running to the right is that in the Senate in particular, the new Democratic members of the Senate are on economic issues perhaps as progressive as any new incoming Senate class in 50 years. Sherrod Brown is an unabashed economic populist.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders, John Tester, who strangely keeps getting described as a conservative. Jim Webb, Friday night on Lou Dobbs, had a very interesting exchange with Dobbs about sort of the growing gap between rich and poor and what we need to do about that. And really, this was not a Republican talking.
Yeah.
So these stories that we see about this run to the right and Democrats only getting elected by mimicking Republicans just isn't true. Even in the specific members that they're talking about, it isn't true.
Now, JMO, just a minute remaining. I want to turn to the shuffle at the head of the Republican National Committee. Ken Mellman resigned at the end of last week, and it's been reported today that Senator Mel Martinez of Florida will become the titular chair of the RNC. I want to turn to Mellman for a moment because last week Bill Maher appeared on Larry King Live, said that Mellman is gay, and that portion was excised from the replay of Larry King Live. Bill Maher said that on Friday night on his HBO show he would name more names and out more Republicans, and he did not. He didn't even mention Mellman. He had a long piece at the end taking on Ted Haggard in hypocrisy. Do you know what happened there?
I don't. I didn't see the original broadcast. I've heard that it was excised from the re-air. I don't know what the rationale is for that. I would love to hear the rationale on CNN's part for why they refused to broadcast that. I remember back in the 90s, CNN broadcasting various conservatives claiming that Bill Clinton had killed Vince Foster. So I just wonder where their standards are for what they will and won't broadcast.
Yeah.
10-moment sexuality isn't particularly important to me, but CNN's standards are.
I agree. Thank you, JMO. Nice to talk to you today.
Take care.
Jameson Fosier, MediaMatters.org. Coming up next, Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive. We'll talk about the Middle East and more on The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
This is Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunedaRealEstate.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
12-Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addiction. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. Causes, cures, genetics, or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5, with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Italica Fine Leather Purses and Accessories on Alvarado Street, next to Supercuts in Monterey. Italica. Listen Saturdays at 4 with Sheila Gale. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, my son asked me today, is this another Vietnam? I said, son, you know, it's go ask your mom. It brought back such precious memories. of my days in business school, my favorite stool. Then my wife said, hey, I'm worried 'cause they're starting to deploy. I said, honey, don't be silly, we'll send someone else's boy. 'Cause we all make sacrifices, and in a war, that's what the poor people are for. I said, fight on for freedom's sake, long as I don't shake and bake.
Chicken Hawk.
Call me a Chicken Hawk.
Chicken Hawk.
Proud to be a Chicken Hawk. A loyal armchair jock. Let's check that Lockheed stock. I didn't walk the walk, but I could talk the talk. Bawk, 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 bawk.
Over the weekend, this new CD arrived in my post office box, and the artist is Roy Zimmerman. The CD is called Faulty Intelligence, and that there is called Chicken Hawk. And we found Roy Zimmerman. He's going to join us on the program later this week on Friday. And there are a lot of great tunes on here that we'll be previewing for you between now and then. We're joined now by Matthew Rothschild. He's the editor of The Progressive, based in Madison, Wisconsin. Hello, Matthew. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Peter. Thanks for having me back on.
Oh, you bet. And things getting a little better for you? I certainly feel a sense of relief and a kind of renewal of the hope gland.
Yeah, it was finally taking a step back from the brink toward fascism. So I think everyone breathed a sigh of relief on November 8th. And also a sense of maybe accountability even comeuppance, at least an ounce or two for Bush, which was certainly justified.
Mm-hmm. And where are you on the table in the impeachment thing?
I'm for it.
Uh-huh.
I think we have a constitutional obligation to pursue it. It's not about getting our partisan, you know, pound of flesh. It's about reestablishing our democracy here that these guys have been stealing over the last 6 years. And if Bush hasn't committed high crimes and misdemeanors, I don't know what the definition of that is.
So how do we bring Pelosi along? I think I understand her resistance. She fears that it will become all-consuming and will make the Democrats look like payback artists. And I do agree with you. Fundamentally, the process should be permitted to run its course. And, you know, if the voice of the Congress, if there is, you know, a vote out of the House to indict the president for these issues, I think it should be permitted to proceed. I don't think it has to be priority A of the new Democratic leadership, but I think blocking it is a mistake on many counts.
Well, it's certainly a mistake on principle. You can't have a president of the United States who says there's a law in the books called the FISA law, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that says I need to get a warrant before I can spy on a U.S. citizen, and then the president says I'm not going to follow that law. I'm going to write an executive order every 45 days that says I don't have to do it, and that's what he's been doing. I mean, that isn't our system. Our system is the Congress makes the laws, the president enforces the laws, and so that is a blatant violation of the law and of our Fourth Amendment rights to privacy as well, as the judge has already determined. And the only way the Constitution has for us to keep a president accountable who's violating the law is by impeachment. So I think it's got to pursue on the grounds of principle. There are other things, too, of course, the Iraq War and the torture scandal, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But the FISA, the NSA spying, is just the most open and shut case. Now, talk about tactics, because that seems to be the only thing that the Democrats want to talk about, the mainstream Democrats or the leadership of the Democratic Party, the tactics. Oh, it's going to be disastrous for us. Well, you know, when Newt Gingrich sailed in 1994, he wasn't worried about so much about the tactics. He wasn't talking about making nicey nice and being, you know, Mr. Bipartisan. He was ramming their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And what did it get them? They got a lot of their agenda passed, first off. That's what got them. And then they went totally partisan with their impeachment of Bill Clinton for grounds that weren't impeachable.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't cost them the White House either. So the idea that it's necessarily going to cost the Democrats doesn't seem to be borne out.
Understood. Now, we have this situation now where Pelosi and Reid have sounded this tone of bipartisanship and civility. And I'm all for that in a perfect world. But we're dealing with people who we cannot trust to return the love. And the president has shown already that by submitting a renewed confirmation request for John Bolton on Thursday, I don't know if that was before or after his lunch with Nancy Pelosi, and, you know, he is signaling that he wants the lame duck session to legalize the NSA program that you just described that we all know is flatly illegal. And so I don't feel like there are any olive branches being extended from the Republican side. And that makes the Democratic kindness a unilateral disarmament.
It's foolishness. They want the Democrats to be chumps, basically. They want us all to be chumps and, you know, do what they didn't do and just play into their hands right now. Because when they got the power, as soon as they got the power, as soon as Bush-Cheney won in the disputed election in 2000, and a majority of the American people were clamoring for the for a middle way, a middle road, a bipartisanship if ever there was a need for one, you know, Bush and Cheney said, forget it. We're going with our right-wing agenda. And now the second the Democrats get an ounce of power, they're supposed to essentially give that power up. Now, the Democrats have had a bad case of subpoena envy over the last 6 years. Now they finally have the power of the subpoena. Well, they use it.
If you pluralize that, it sounds a little better, actually.
I thought I was pushing it as it was there, Peter.
It's not on the Carlin list, so they won't send us a $350,000 tab for that. Matt, you're right there in Madison, the capital of the great state of Wisconsin, and your Senator Russ Feingold gave me a little bit of a disappointment. I understand why he has declined to run for president, but he really represents the positions, the values, the zeitgeist, if you will, that I'd like to see the standard bearer of the Democratic Party carry.
Yeah, I like Russ Feingold a lot myself. Actually, my wife went to high school with him down in Janesville, Wisconsin, and he's always been a straight arrow. He's always been really smart and very principled. He's done a great job on bringing the presidential crimes to our attention. He was the senator, after all, who called for censuring George W. Bush, and then only three senators Democrats decided to go along even with that, which is impeachment light, and those three senators were Harkin, Boxer, and John Kerry a couple of months late.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been very principled and, you know, great on campaign finance, too. But it was just a reality check. He knew he wasn't going to be able to win.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that there are bigger players in the field here, that it's Hillary Clinton and John Edwards and Barack Obama, if he wants to throw his hat all the way into the ring,
mm-hmm.
and that his chances of winning were really slipping. Even in Iowa, there was a poll by the Des Moines Register back in July, and this is a time when Feingold's profile was larger than it is now, showed Feingold only with 2%.
Sure. Now, on Obama, I'm very interested in this man. He's a great speaker. He is a new figure, and we desperately need that on the scene. Pardon me. But I believe that people are projecting their hopes, their aspirations, onto what is largely a blank slate, and looking at it and saying, that's my Obama. That's the man who will be my next president. And I'm not opposed to Obama. I certainly prefer him to Hillary Clinton at this point. But I feel like people are rushing to get on board. I saw my first Obama for President 2008 bumper sticker just yesterday.
Well, it's odd, this little Obumlet, as I call it, because I don't think he's going to run. And he is so green. I mean, he hasn't been in there yet 2 years, and his record hasn't been exemplary, if you examine it. First of all, he's been extraordinarily timid on the Iraq War when other people were speaking up more boldly, like Feingold himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, inexcusably, and to my mind, unforgivably, Barack Obama voted for that bankruptcy bill,
yeah,
which makes it much harder for people who really need protection from their creditors to get protection for it. I don't know why he did that, and I haven't seen a good explanation for it. He is a great speaker. He does express a sense of optimism about the country returning or redeeming the ideals of this country, and I think that's something that a lot of people want to get behind. I think he ultimately is not going to do it, though, because I think he recognizes that it's too early. He could run in the year 2020, for God's sake. He'll be only 60 years old.
Yeah, I mean, he just took off the training wheels a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he's got plenty of time. I mean, what he's done, though, is kind of dampened the Hillary enthusiasm
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because coming out of the election with her enormous victory there, if he hadn't been toying with this race, everyone would have been saying, you know, Hillary's unbeatable. She's got it. I simply, leaving the merits aside, I don't think she can win. I mean, I think she can get the Democratic nomination, but I think she's a lead pipe cinch loser. If she gets the nomination, because her negatives are so high. 40% of the American people in a Rasmussen poll earlier this year said they wouldn't vote for her under any circumstance.
Right.
Hard to win that way.
Yeah, I agree. I think that she would be a step backward. We would have to fight battles of the past. We would have to relive Whitewater and Monica and all that crap from the 90s. And I just think the Democrats are better off to move forward. I say the same about Kerry and Gore.
Yeah, I think those guys have had their time, and it's gone. I think John Edwards is kind of the sleeper right now. Not many people are talking about him. He has been, you know, while everyone's talking about Obama, you know, he's been working his tail off the last couple years, going all around the country, walking picket lines, talking up poverty, fighting for the living wage ordinances in state after state in Iowa.
And repudiating his vote in favor of the war.
Yeah, he came around on the Iraq War pretty quickly, so... Mm-hmm. I think he's going to get some credibility on the left and with the unions, which is going to give him a real head start here in Iowa, next door to where I am right now. And Des Moines Register had him winning that poll, incidentally, not with Obama in it, but with Hillary. He was beating Hillary.
Mm-hmm. Matthew, one of the things that the Progressive reported earlier this year, Ruth Conniff, I think, of your staff, a story about Halliburton getting a no-bid contract to build 5 or 6 detention centers for just under $300 million. We continue to try to find more information out about that. We haven't been able to locate any of the alleged sites where these facilities would be proposed or built. Have you been able to get more information on that story?
No, we haven't. You know, and I actually send out FOIA requests for any document in the federal government. I went agency to agency that used the word, the term martial law. No one gave it to me. Maybe that's not a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I didn't hit the right information officer or something, or didn't find the euphemism that they were using. Because I'm very concerned about the roundups this president or a future president might conduct, because after all, George W. Bush has built an edifice of repression that the next president can inhabit quite leisurely. And so I'm worried about that. And then this Military Commissions Act gives the president the power to imprison without trial and without letting anybody, go see a judge who is not a U.S. citizen. So if anyone's got a relative from overseas coming to visit,
mm-hmm.
better tell them mind their P's and Q's.
Well, and there was a sweep in Florida recently that caught up a Russian emigre who's lived in this country legally for more than 25 years, and it was called Operation Return to Sender. She was treated like a terrorist, manhandled, manacled, thrown face down in the back of a van. They moved her several times, kept her out of touch with family and lawyers. That's happening in our United States right now.
Yeah, I am wondering where the shock is, actually, because these actions are so reprehensible, so antithetical to our system and to our beliefs, to our ideals, to our values, that I would have thought people would be up in arms about that and about the torture and about Bush's, you know, invasion of our civil liberties. But I saw a poll that really scared me the other day, and that said that 57% of the American people think that George W. Bush is either doing just about right in infringing upon our civil liberties, or 25% of those thought he should be infringing on our liberties even more. Who are those 25%?
That's that guy from North Dakota who calls waterboarding a dunk in the water.
Yeah,
and gets Dick Cheney to approve it. You know, down by Guantanamo Bay, you go on a summer... We're going to take a break and return with Matthew Rothschild from the Progressive. Go to their website, progressive.org. If you add the other suffix, you'll have to order some insurance. And if you'd like to talk with him, lines are available at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Tom Tom Hartman.
And George W. Bush admitting that he lied to the press corps.
Last week you told us that Rumsfeld was not stepping down, and now he is. And did you lie to us?
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And then he says, I lied to you. It was the only way I could get you to move on to the next question. And then he looks around and he chuckles, and he's got this, and nobody's laughing. The entire press corps is sitting there looking at him going, you did what?
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're talking with Matthew Rothschild. He is the editor of The Progressive. They're on the web at progressive.org. And we're joined by Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. How about that?
Oh, really great, Peter. And Matthew, I think, one, with respect to Obama and the bankruptcy bill, it's been my observation that the finance industry, the banking industry, when they want something real bad, they can wave a pretty enticing envelope under a politician's nose. That's one.
But theoretically, Obama shouldn't need it. He cakewalked into the Senate seat in Illinois virtually unopposed. His opponents kept developing scandals with bimbos. And, he's early in his term, so it's not as if the coin should be critical at this stage. Matt?
Yeah, I agree. There was no reason for him to have to bow to, the banking industry or whatever the lobbyists were who were knocking on his door. And most Democrats didn't support the bankruptcy bill, and they have equal pressures as Obama does, if not more, because there are some of them who were run for re-election. So I don't think that, I hope that wasn't the reason. It doesn't make sense to me, really.
Yeah, all the banks and credit card companies are chartered in Delaware, so you can give Joe Biden a pass if you want to.
I don't want to do that.
I don't either, but...
My main issue, if I might, though,
And
that is that if last week's election was an honest one, I believe it would have virtually marked the end of the Republican Party. I do believe that with all the various cheating tactics, and the more I look into this, the more I'm convinced of it, there was probably another 40, 50, maybe 60 seats that would have gone to the Democrats, in which case there would be no more Republican
Party. Well, Dave, in the very broad math,
The Republicans lost by 47,000 votes, you know, nationwide. When you add up all the Democratic votes, all the Republican votes, that doesn't bear the race-by-race numbers, but you get my point. And Greg Palast argues that 4 million votes were lost, stolen, suppressed, or otherwise gamed. And so what you're saying is not so far-fetched based on just that very simple broad math. Matthew?
Yeah, I agree with Dave on that. And but, you know, I don't think it would have driven a stake through the heart of the Republican Party, because these parties have a tendency to bounce back. But I do think it was a real repudiation of the Bush-Cheney anti-American unilateral style of governance.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that it had been even a more lopsided victory, and even a harsher slap in the face, but I certainly think it was a slap in the face.
Nick in Arcata, you're next for Matthew Rothschild. Go right ahead.
Hi. You were just talking a little bit ago about Bush's newfound powers of, you know, basically disappearing anybody labeled a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
And on Tom Hartman's show today, they brought up a bill that's being voted on tonight. You know how they like to pass bills in the middle of the night. And it will label a person that, say, exposes radical practices in logging or, say, factory farming, that kind of thing.
Whistleblowers?
Yeah, a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
That, or an activist that, mm-hmm, you know, leaks this stuff. If the corporation loses more than $10,000, this person can be labeled a terrorist. That's the wording in the bill.
Do you know who's carrying the bill?
I don't. I'm sorry, I can't, mm-hmm, remember.
Okay. Matthew, do you know about this? This is the first I've heard.
Yeah, no, Nick has brought something up that I don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
okay, well, I know it's not a lot of your audience probably listens to Tom.
Yeah.
So maybe one of them can...
Yeah, if anybody could send us a link or just call with more information, I'll be happy to pursue that, Nick.
Yeah, apparently it's targeted at PETA, so mm-hmm, they might have something on a website or something.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll look into it. I appreciate that call. Now, Matthew Rothschild, I wanted to turn to a piece that was published yesterday at Common Dreams, and I just have a hunch you could find it at progressive.org. And you wrote this article called Change Needed in U.S. Policy Toward Israel. Now, this against a backdrop of Prime Minister Olmert visiting the White House today, a lengthy analytical piece by Stephen Erlanger in today's New York Times that makes some interesting points, and other things that are going on. We have Hamas offering to disengage from the Palestinian leadership if it will end the blockade, the boycott that has really quarantined them even further. And Hezbollah has caused a split in the cabinet in Lebanon by demanding enough power to have a veto over other parties' political proposals in that country. So there's a lot going on, and at this point it doesn't seem that the Bush administration is engaged.
Well, it's not engaged at all in any serious way at being a decent broker, an impartial broker between the Palestinians and the Israelis, because the Bush administration, even more than previous administrations, has so aligned with the government of the State of Israel, regardless of what the policies of that government are. And that's what bothers me so much, because this year we've had some really barbaric policies by the government of Israel, its invasion of Lebanon, for instance, or, mm-hmm, this most recent Beit Hanun killing of 18 civilians, a lot of them women and children.
Yes.
And what did the United States do? On Saturday, it vetoed a UN resolution condemning those killings. And it was a resolution that also condemned Palestinian rockets that go from Palestine into Israel. So it was an even-handed resolution, even though the execrable John Bolton said it wasn't even-handed and said it didn't advance the cause of peace, as though he's advancing the cause of peace or Bush is advancing the cause of peace by aligning so closely with every policy of the government of Israel that I think is not only making Israel less safe, making the United States less safe.
Well, and as you point out, you know, the U.S. permits many people to just deny that the occupation is a primary irritant here in the back-and-forth attacks that occur between Israel and the Palestinians.
Yeah, Bush and Rice and Cheney and Bolton have been totally deaf to this central reality of the Middle East, and that is that the continued occupation of Palestinian land is the big issue, the biggest issue for millions and millions of Arabs and Muslims around the world. And when they see Israel committing atrocities and then the United States shielding Israel from any criticism for those atrocities, they conclude that the United States and Israel are one and the same and hate Arabs and Muslims. And what does that breed? That breeds more terrorism, not only against Israel, but against the United States, too.
And Erlanger, quote, Secretary Rice, asked if the administration will try to get the Israelis to stop their attacks. She said, no, I wasn't going to give advice to the Israelis. She said she has a lot of sympathy for what the Israelis are dealing with.
Yeah, and Seymour Hersh in The New Yorker said it's even worse than that, that at the Pentagon, the U.S. Air Force was consulting with the Israeli Air Force about what targets the Israeli Air Force should go after in Lebanon. I believe that the United States actually goosed the Israelis into going into Lebanon in hopes that, these were Cheney's hopes, I believe, that, you know, Syria or Iran would overreact and send a missile in, and then they could have the fantasy that they always wanted to have and go after Syria and Iran, too, that is the U.S.
Well, Matthew, I really appreciate a principled Jewish American voice speaking up on this, because as a goy boy, I can offer criticism, but it's often deflected, and I really appreciate you taking on these tough issues.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, there are those who criticize Israel who are Jewish, and we are called self-hating Jews. There are those who criticize Israel who aren't Jewish, and they are called anti-Semites, and that leaves...
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
I mean, tell people why I say, raise a little hell, raise a little hell, raise a
little hell. Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Iraq Study Group questions President Bush.
I was pleased to meet with them. I was impressed by the questions they asked.
Groundbreaking in Washington for the Martin Luther King Memorial.
Let us build this monument and keep the monuments in our heart.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. As the lame duck Congress returned to work and newly elected members started a week of orientation, the question all over Washington was what to do in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has the story from the White House.
Wanting to be seen open to new ideas about Iraq, President Bush spent an hour and a half with nearly all the 10 members of the bipartisan panel looking for new ways to hasten progress in Iraq.
I'm not sure what the report is going to say. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
But spokesman Tony Snow is quick to make the point that President Bush will not blindly accept the panel's recommendations.
The president still understands that it is his job to be commander-in-chief and to make the best decisions he can on the basis of the best information and ideas available.
Snow says Mr. Bush is not outsourcing the problems in Iraq to the study group whose recommendations are due before the end of the year. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill, where Democrats say the answer to Iraq has got to include starting to pull American troops out. Michigan Senator Carl Levin, who will chair the Armed Services Committee in the new Democratic-controlled Senate, says U.S. troops can't save Iraq from itself if it spirals into civil war.
The trend is downward. The trend is negative. The trend is into a deeper and deeper ditch.
Levin says to stop digging, President Bush has to tell Iraq flatly that American troops are going to start leaving.
President Bush travels to Vietnam this week. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was supposed to leave today, but she's delaying her departure till tomorrow so she can attend a round of meetings on Iraq. The administration is getting tougher on the Iraqi government. General John Abizaid, the head of Central Command, made a surprise visit to Baghdad today and warned Prime Minister Maliki he has to crack down on Shiite militias, including the Mahdi Army, loyal to anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Late today, U.S. forces raided the homes of al-Sadr followers and fired rockets into their neighborhood. Now this.
I'm back.
I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a... Ricola.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
I still have a dream.
Yes.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream.
Not far from the Lincoln Memorial, where Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his famous speech in 1963, there was a ceremonial groundbreaking today for a King Memorial.
You're going through.
Among the speakers, former President Bill Clinton, who signed the legislation to create the memorial, and President Bush.
Today, we see only these open acres, yet we know that when the work is done, the King Memorial will be a fitting tribute, powerful and hopeful and poetic, like the man it honors.
Also on hand, Oprah Winfrey, Senator Barack Obama, and former Atlanta Mayor and U.N. Ambassador Andrew Young, a comrade of King in the civil rights struggle.
Everywhere he went, he was harassed and persecuted and lived constantly under the threat of death. But he said, ultimately, if a man hasn't found something he's willing to die for, he's not fit to live anyway.
White House wannabes are setting their sights on 2008, getting a jump on Senator John McCain. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani has filed papers to create an exploratory committee.
Mayor Giuliani does very well with traditional Republicans, with conservative Republicans, because he has an image as a crime fighter and obviously someone who's made his mark on terrorism.
CBS News political consultant Dottie Lynch.
Many people, though, think once it becomes known that he is pro-choice, pro-gay rights, pro-gun control, has a lot of those positions, that a lot of conservative Republicans may have second thoughts.
Republican officials say Florida Senator Mel Martinez has been tapped to become chairman of the GOP National Committee, succeeding Ken Melman, whose two-year term ends in January. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
No doubt about it, the Internet is a great place to hang out, like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much, when I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the Internet, too. Isn't it time the Internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at GEICO.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
This is a dangerous place. Inside a calculator at tax time, a business owner has this thing smoking. How? He's got a Discover business card, so he downloads statements anytime he wants. Has his purchase records right at his fingertips. A lot faster and easier than a box full of receipts. Hey, ease up there, big guy. You'll sprain your pinky.
It's time to take control with the new Discover business card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. And joining us this hour is editor and opinion writer Tom Engelhart. His collection of interviews is out with George W. Bush on the cover. And it's called Mission Unaccomplished. Yes, in May of 2003, they turned that aircraft carrier around for the photo op of all time. And W flew in with that codpiece in his flight suit, stalked across the carrier deck, shaking hands, slapping high fives, and posing for cover stories that never came. Tom Engelhart, thanks for returning to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Tom? Hello, Tom. I'm looking for you here. Matt, I think we're going to have to dial him back because I don't have anybody on line one there. Anyway, the new book is a fascinating collection of interviews that Tom Engelhart conducted. And he runs the website tomdispatch.com, affiliated with the Nation Institute, which is part of the Nation magazine. And Mission Unaccomplished is a series of interviews with some of the dissenters, some of the iconoclasts who have surfaced since Bush launched this misguided war on Iraq. People like Howard Zinn, James Carroll, Cindy Sheehan, Anne Wright, whom I met this summer in Washington and again at Camp Democracy in September. She served in our military and then in our foreign service and resigned to express her own disgust with the Bush administration. Mark Danner, a great reporter. Chalmers Johnson, a former military man, a Cold Warrior. Katrina Vandenhoevel of The Nation. And several others, including Barbara Ehrenreich. Tom, do we have you now?
You have me. I don't know what happened.
Oh, well, it must have been the NSA checking in on us.
I think it was.
I have a personal minder over there named Benny. at least we think so.
Well, I heard you mention Anne Wright, who I love. She was a great experience for me. So.
Yeah, she's a very interesting woman. She gave me a business card with a phone number in Hawaii, and she said, "Don't worry, that's my cell phone. I haven't been there in years."
Right. You know, she's actually a gal from Arkansas to begin with, and a retired colonel. She was one of the three diplomats who resigned in protest as the invasion of Iraq was about to begin. And I think for me she represents something very interesting. That when the founding fathers created this country, they created it, as we all know from high school civics, they created a system of checks and balances. And the checks and balances, obviously, for most of the last few years didn't work. But she represents what I consider the check and balance I never thought of, because they have never imagined a government like this. And that was the check and balance of people, hard-working officials, bureaucrats, scientists within the government who couldn't stand what was happening and decided to protest, to leak, to fight back. Some of them got pushed out. I consider them like the fourth check and balance of our world, and I find her very fascinating that way. So.
Well, and Anne Wright answered the call actually before Daniel Ellsberg issued it in Harper's Magazine last month. For some principled members of this administration to risk their futures and rescue our country by coming forward with, you know, some of the secret plans that we thought would have led to an attack on Iran even by now.
That's right. That's right. And maybe later we'll get into Gates and Iran, because I think the news on Iran, unlike most other things, is reasonably good at this point. You know, when Anne Wright appeared at my door, I'm a very cheap interviewer. I only interview people who are in close proximity. I don't have the money to get on a plane and go looking and so on and so forth. And she appeared at my door, and she was wearing, instead of bracelets, she was wearing two bands that represented the police had put on her when she was arrested twice. And she said to me, "I'm a felon for peace."
Yeah. She's a really striking individual and a very strong but not strident voice.
Absolutely. And as like a number of people who have been in the military and have ended up taking journeys out of the world of this administration just out of principle. Another one who I interviewed was Andrew Bacevich,
mm-hmm.
who had been he had fought in Vietnam. He had been a self-professed Cold Warrior. I suppose he was even close to being a kind of a neocon, and he took an odd journey in the 1990s out of that whole world when he noticed that the people who he thought were his allies had fallen in love with the military. He was a military man, but he wasn't a lover of the military. And all these neocons had been dazzled by American military power, and this is what they wanted to apply in the world. And he was horrified by this, and he took this journey, which led him. He's a historian and one of the most open-minded historians I know. He remains a conservative, but he took this journey, a journey in which he discovered that the United States, in his mind, was an empire. This was something he really hadn't known before. And from that, he began reconsidering his own history and the history of the Cold War, the history of the Vietnam War. And he's written a series of books, including a book on militarism called The New American Militarism, which are striking documents of our time. And he was very interesting to interview because, you know, it's very rare in life, no less, you know, in interviewing people, to meet someone who really stops to think. And there were a couple of moments. Most of the time I asked him questions he had answers to. There were a couple of moments when I asked him questions to which he didn't have obvious answers. And sitting there, I could see him actually stop and think over, not try and offer me an answer, but actually think over, well, what, something new. And when you see someone open to the new, it's always impressive. So he was a very impressive man, and he's been a very impressive voice from the kind of conservative side of the aisle. And, mm-hmm. And this book, it's kind of a big tent book in that way. So
well, and let's talk a little bit about you, Tom Engelhardt,
yeah.
because you submitted to an interview that is the last chapter of the book. Nick Terse, your colleague, conducted
right.
it.
Right.
And talk about your own attitudes toward empire and how it shaped your launch of Tom Dispatch and a lot of the work that you've done in the last few years.
Well, you know, I mean, Tom Dispatch, I'm a 62-year-old guy. At the moment of September 11th, I emailed, but I basically knew very little about the online world. I don't think I even really realized you could read papers or newspapers online or anything else. And I had a very odd reaction to September 11th, which, given the fact that I'm supposed to be a reasonably sophisticated person, was rather naive, which was, I thought when it happened, I thought, this might open us up to the world in some way. I was horrified. I was in New York, and this was a horrifying event, you know, and we could smell very quickly the smell of 9/11 and so on. But I also thought, this might be an opening for us to the world, to what goes on in the rest of the world, what other people live with, and so on and so forth. And, of course, a few months later, when we were in those constant imperial rites, which declared us to be the greatest survivor, the greatest victim, and the greatest dominator, and the only role left to anybody in the world was greatest evil one, I had kind of had it. And I really started Tom Dispatch as a little E-list. I just started sending. I sent to about, you know, three relatives and five friends, and I started. It became a little obsession. I started just sending articles, voices from elsewhere, I used to call them, and that articles that you just couldn't read here that I found online. And sooner or later, people started jumping on. Journalists started writing and saying, hey, will you send this to me too? And all of a sudden, I had this enormous E-list, and then one day, a guy from the Nation Institute, Ham Fish, who's a mm-hmm. wonderful guy,
yeah, I've met him.
Said, hey, let's. How about if we put this up online? I said, okay. And so Tom Dispatch was this weird happenstance, but it was, and it has always been focused. I think from childhood, I was a real American kid, but I would say this is where I connect with Basevich and Ann Wright and so on and so forth, is that in many ways I see Tom Dispatch, including the interviews I did in the book, as a kind of citizenly duty. And at my core, I don't know why, from childhood, you know, there was something, I wouldn't have called it anti-imperial then, there was something in me that just, maybe it was just very American, that didn't like the imperial.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't like the large and imperial, and it's still with me. It's what it is in a way the politics of Tom Dispatch, which is, and that's why at Tom Dispatch you can find people from the right as well as the left, and why like libertarian sites like to pick up Tom Dispatch, because we agree on the anti-imperial, we agree on what we've lost in our world, which are, you know, certain right, you know, civil rights and so on and so forth. That's what scares us, and that's what we don't like, and so as a kind of historian, before that, I was also an editor, a book editor,
mm-hmm.
But I had written a book of history about the Cold War. I also had a very strong sense that about half of 20th century history was about the inability of large imperial powers to occupy smaller, weaker countries as they had done in the 19th and 18th century, successfully. The power of national sovereignty. So long before we went into Iraq, when I saw the invasion coming, I knew, listen, there are lots of things I'm not very predictive on, I'm not very good on predicting elections and so on and so forth. On this, I knew. I knew from the beginning, long before the invasion, I knew that we could not occupy. It was clear to me that the Bush people had imperial dreams of the largest sort and that they were ready to occupy Iraq. And it was just going to be the first stop. They were going to leave it to their Iraqi cohorts to rule, and they were going to move on. They were going to knock off Syria, Iran, et cetera, et cetera. But I knew that this was inconceivable. And it's the one thing I've written constantly about. It's the one thing I've been from the beginning. I've been absolutely on target on.
And we're going to take a quick break and return. Tom Engelhardt with us. He's the proprietor of TomDispatch.com and the author of this book of interviews, Mission Unaccomplished. It's out in softcover from Nation Books. We'll continue in just a moment. Join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And I'm still Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
And happy Monday, everybody. Let's get you home safely. Of course, it is wet and rainy out there. So let's tell you what's happening. We do have a problem in Castroville. Looks like Castroville Boulevard at 156 fender bender right shoulder, and two cars involved. Salinas Old Nativity Road at Old Stage. We have a vehicle that hit a tree. Emergency crews are on the scene there to help that individual. And in Salinas, Laurel Drive on ramp to southbound 101, we have a stall. The car is blocking the ramp there. Quick reminder that we do have a nighttime road work in Watsonville between Highway 1 and 129 in Freedom. Caltrans has one lane closed in each direction from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. And you can expect at least 15-minute delays as a result of this. A support brought to you by Chapstick. Every time your dream of drenching your lips in moisture, slide on Chapstick Moisture for a healthy look and feel your lips long for every day. I'm Mike, that's traffic on KRXA.
Listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B. Collins. We continue our conversation with Tom Engelhardt, and he takes pains to say that he's not a journalist. He's an editor and an opinion guy, and he operates TomDispatch.com, and he wrote this book, which is a compilation of interviews he's done, called Mission Unaccomplished, and it's out in softcover from Nation Books. A couple of the people in here really fascinate me, and I've had the opportunity to talk with them here on the radio program, Tom. And one is James Carroll, the Boston-based writer. And he is a moralist, in my view, in the correct sense of that term, is that he's a man who is informed and imbued with a deep sense of morality. And when he has used his voice to criticize the Bush administration and this war, it comes across with, shall we say, much greater depth than a chorus of evangelical Christians.
I agree. In fact, I would use that that very word, moral. I mean, that's actually the kind of man he is. I mean, in the best possible sense of the word, he is a moralist. And what that led him to do, what impressed me before I even got to interview him, because I've got kind of a prior, with a number of these people, I have a kind of prior history, a publishing history, because mm-hmm. in what passes at least for real life, although Tom Dispatch is the adventure of my later life. I've been a book editor in mainstream book publishing for 30 years, and I loved his columns. I had a friend who knew him. I got in touch with him as soon as September 11th happened, more or less. Very soon afterwards, he began writing columns he writes a column in the Boston Globe, and he began writing columns that were so radical for the moment that I think I think it was really problematic for him, because mm-hmm. he began saying that the kind that taking a hammer, as he said at one point, to hit a mosquito is bound to be a catastrophe, and that's what he saw that the Bush administration was about to do. And he, you know, very early on, that voice, there were just a few voices, there were a few people who felt that the Bush administration was going in the wrong direction, who didn't at that moment, when everybody else seemed to feel something else, didn't run. And he didn't. Another one who I also have dealt with over the years is Jonathan Schell.
Mm-hmm.
Just a good, solid liberal, but he just never changed his positions. And
just to be fair, you've edited for both Orville and Jonathan.
I've done both brothers, right?
And they are singular in their voices, but they do have, I think, a real common thread of decency and a commitment to the American Constitution.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And Carroll, I actually published, those essays so impressed me, those columns, that I actually published them in a book series that I co-created, run, and edit, called the American Empire series,
mm-hmm.
the American Empire Project. And that's what he was one of my first two interviews. The other was Howard Zinn, and I just happened to be close by. It was a summer, it was the summer of 2005, and to give you a little prior history, I probably my inspiration for all this is late in life, Studs Terkel's publishing life, I became his editor. I had worked at Pantheon Books for years, and my boss at Pantheon had edited all his books, and I had used to be called in as kind of the second team on his books. I'd take a last look at them or something. And, mm-hmm. and his most recent, not the most recent one, but the previous two, I did edit. And I've always found him an inspiration as an interviewer. And so one day I thought I had these guys, Howard Zinn, who I had the urge to talk to, and Carroll. I was curious. I had never really interviewed somebody, not for publication. And I bought two of the cheapest tape recorders around because I was afraid that one of them might break. And I just thought, I'll just try it. Because that's been my general attitude about almost anything. And I sat down, I just thought, can I have a real conversation with these people, a two-sided mm-hmm. conversation, mm-hmm. and can I bring out something fresh in their thoughts, since these are people who have written widely. And I think on that I was successful. And it was fascinating for me. So
I'll tell you a quick Studs Terkel story. I was a 21-year-old radio talk show host in Chicago, and I revered Studs Terkel. He was on the classical station there and had a real freewheeling interview show there every day. And I got to meet him because I was about to interview an author, and she decided that she thought I was a little bit flaky or strange, or could be. And so she persuaded Studs Terkel to escort her to the interview with me at this FM rock station. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I was on late at night to preserve the decency of the community. And here comes, you know, a man who I never expected to meet. I'd listened to him on the radio for years. And he came in and he looked at me and he said, "Now, you're going to be nice to her, aren't you?"
That's him. You know, we used to get messages on our phone machine from him when I was working on his books. And my wife always used to say, "You've got to keep those messages because his is the last voice out of which a cigar comes."
Mm.
You know, he sounds directly off the waterfront. You know, "Hey, Tom, you know, that work is a nonpareil," you know, and it's just, you know, unfortunately I don't have them, but he's such a character. So.
He truly is.
Anyway, he was my inspiration. I had edited his interviews over the years. I had seen them. I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to be Studs Terkel, but let me just go out and try.
Well, you did a good job. We're going to pick up there as we continue with Tom Engelhardt, and we're going to widen out to some other issues in the news right now. So if you'd like to join us with a question or comment, get on the line now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Fresh ideas. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. In Washington, D.C., it's message received.
The people spoke dramatically, overwhelmingly, resoundingly to change the course in Iraq.
It's one of the great things about a democracy. Ordinary people like us can throw the bums out. But will it lead to fresh ideas or just a fresh set of bums? Carl Levin, incoming head of the Senate Armed Services Committee, is ready to start with what he calls a phased redeployment of American troops in Iraq in 6 months.
First order of business, I believe, is to join, hopefully, with some Republicans who I think now will emerge to press the administration to change course in Iraq by telling the Iraqis that our presence there is not open-ended.
As for the president, he was meeting today with the Iraq Study Group, led by his dad's Secretary of State, James Baker, seeking fresh ideas. More fresh ideas will come from his dad's Director of Central Intelligence, now the incoming Defense Secretary, Robert Gates. So the fresh ideas are everywhere. They may, however, run head-on into a certain old idea.
Victory will come when the terrorists and Saddamists can no longer threaten Iraq's democracy.
And we will accept nothing less than complete victory.
And we will settle for nothing less than complete victory.
And never accept anything less than complete victory.
Less than complete victory.
There is a theme in there somewhere.
To retreat before victory would be an act of recklessness and dishonor, and I will not allow it.
You see, I think among the fresh ideas, there will need to be a fresh definition of a certain three-syllable word beginning with the
computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam firewalls and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Well, it's time for more now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
There's this great Popeye cartoon where he gets inside a Bluto's shirt and he's popping out of his sleeves going, "Here I am, over here, you." And Bluto is confused. He's going,
"Hey, where'd you, why you,
And he's trying to beat up Popeye, and he ends up pummeling himself. And that is the war on terror. That is the war on terror. It's the war on terror. There's this old joke where a guy walking home late at night. He sees another guy under a street light, searching frantically in the gutter. He says, "Hey man, what did you lose?" The guy says, "I dropped my keys about 6 blocks away." "Why aren't you looking over there?" The guy says, "The light's better over here." And that is the war on terror. That is the war on terror. Yeah, that's the war on terror. Is the war on terror. We gotta back.
That's politically infused rock and roll. Fresh off, just came in the mail yesterday, Roy Zimmerman is the artist, and that song is called That Is the War on Terror. And the new CD is called Faulty Intelligence. I really like this guy, and he's going to come on the show later this week.
That is great, Peter.
Isn't that an interesting song?
Yeah, I buy it.
And the joke about dropping my keys 6 blocks away, what are you looking here for? So try to put this into a little context for us, Tom Engelhart. Last week, the Democrats took control of the House, and then a day later they learned that they got squeaking control of the Senate. And a faux conciliatory President Bush has talked about bipartisanship, and he surprised me with the announcement of the Rumsfeld sacking. He terminated him. And so we now have a new guy who's a lot like Rumsfeld, only different, comes out of really the same milieu. And his biggest single qualification for this is that he cooked intelligence during the 80s and then again in the 90s when he was George Bush Sr.'s director of Central Intelligence. So what are we getting out of this shuffle?
Well, we are going to get one thing, but let me back. You know, I was thinking today, the fellow who was the head of the Arab League back in September 2002 warned that if we invaded Iraq, we would open, the Bush administration would open the gates of hell in the Middle East. And I think that obviously, at least in Iraq, has proved true. Now, the people who opened those gates were the vice president, Rumsfeld, and the neocons. And now the truth is we're at a real moment of flux, and they are being ushered out the door. And the people who are coming in are daddy's boys. Now, there's a long history with George Bush of failure, repeated failures, and being pulled out, picked up, and put back together by daddy's boys.
Are you talking about Harkin Energy?
Yes, and baseball, and a variety of other things, yeah. And I think it's clear right now that daddy's boys have walked through the door. James Baker, who's the family consigliere, has set up almost a separate government. Off to the side of the government, he's his guy, Gates, who was holding down the Bush Library at Texas A&M, is now the Secretary of Defense and
designate
right. And there's but he will be, I guarantee you. And there's you know, I think there's a lot of anticipation right now about what's going to happen with Iraq, and I think the answer on that is in the immediate future probably very little. But where there is good news, and I believe there actually is in a place nobody's looking right now, which is Iran, because the we know that the Bush administration was willing to take unbelievably rash acts, to throw the dice no matter what the consequences. And they were clearly preparing to whack Iran from the air, to knock its nuclear facilities, but also to try and decapitate the regime. That's the phrase that's used. And I think this, now Gates is of a different type. In 2004, he, with former National Security Advisor for Jimmy Carter, Brzezinski, co-headed a task force on Iran and called for the opening of negotiations with Iran. So
right.
He, like Baker, has been in favor of this. In addition, you have a Congress less likely to put up the money for such a war, which is obviously good news. And
pardon me, Tom, but they have floated an item that the next supplemental for the remainder of 2007 is going to be $160 billion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now one of the ironies of our world is that the Defense Department, the Pentagon, doesn't fight a war on its budget, which is almost $500 billion. Instead, it fights its wars on these emergency supplemental budgets that are put through Congress. So in essence,
that's the brilliance of Enron accounting.
It is. Yeah, but this is open. Enron at least, you know, did it secretly. This is right out. Every American can see it.
Well, I hope that this is one of the markers that the new Democratic majority will call in. And that is that if Bush wants money for Iraq and Afghanistan, it's got to be in the Defense Department budget.
Yeah. This would be interesting if they tried to do that, because then you would suddenly have a Pentagon budget that was so enormous, it would be shocking.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tom, I want to take you back here to last week. We were talking about this earlier on the program today. And a woman has emailed from Phoenix. She says, I've noticed everybody's focusing on the president's confession that he lied when he said the week before the election that Rummy and Cheney would stay with him as long as he's in office. However, she writes, isn't it possible that this is not the real lie? Is it possible that the real lie is that he's lying about the lie he told? Now, follow me. I know that the big, actual, huge news that I was reading the day after he professed his undying devotion to Rumsfeld and Cheney was the fact that the Army Times, Navy Times, Marine Corps Times, and Air Force Times announced that they would all be running an editorial calling for the ouster of Rumsfeld. Their announcement started being reported on Thursday afternoon. I believe that had that announcement not been made and had the Democrats not won the majority and immediately promised a return to oversight, that Rumsfeld would still be in office.
I think the answer is Rumsfeld would still be in office now, but I think he would have been going. I honestly speaking, Baker, James A. Baker, who's the president's right-hand, the former President Bush's right-hand man, took over this Iraq study group. He agreed to do it, and I think he's such a hard-nosed guy. I don't think he would have ever agreed, retrospectively, thinking about this, I don't think he ever would have agreed to do it if he had felt that Rumsfeld would still be sitting there ready to shoot down whatever suggestions he made.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why they've taken so long. I mean, Iraq's a crisis. You would think the Iraq study group would have gotten together, and in a month they would have come up with something or other. instead, they've taken months. I think that these months were meant to be a waiting period until they could get he could get somebody he could really suggest things to into the Defense Department. So that, I don't think she's wrong. I don't think Rumsfeld would have gone quickly, but I think he would have been gone relatively quickly under any circumstances. That's just my thought on this.
Now to James in Phoenix. James, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Tom Engelhart.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, quick question. Big hoopla about the Dems winning and them getting in their first 100 days or so attacking minimum wage and getting that settled.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to try to scale back the Patriot Act? And if they do or don't, what do you think the ramifications will be either way?
I would like to see the Democrats work on the Patriot Act, but I don't think there are many Democrats who are committed to that. What I think the first issue on our constitutional rights front should be is repeal of what I call the Stalin Act, the Military Commissions Act.
Right.
They need to pull that back. They need to reformulate it so that it's consistent with the Geneva Conventions. They have to remove the amnesty provisions for those who have committed torture or authorized or condoned it to date. And they need to reincorporate habeas corpus. And to me, that is step one. I certainly share your concern about some elements of the Patriot Act, and it's a stinky bill that lays the groundwork for fascism. But candidly, I don't see that the Democrats have the cojones to take it on. Tom?
I completely agree. Carl Levin, I believe, has been talking about doing something about the habeas corpus.
Leahy.
I'm sorry, you're right. Leahy.
Yeah, Leahy has talked about it, and I give him credit for that.
Yeah, I do. I do too. And I hate to say it, but I think one of the things that truly worries me is I think I often, when I'm writing at TomDispatch.com, I often tell people, well, look at the, don't look at what people are writing about politics in Washington. Look at the facts on the ground. And if you look at the facts on the ground, I mean, take the fact that we now have two defense departments, the Homeland Security Department. What is it but a defense department? It's a huge and efficient another huge and efficient, expensive bureaucracy. Will we ever not see that again in our lifetimes? I don't think so, because there now is a $60 billion business, security business that's formed around the Homeland Security Department. So it's a fact on the ground. And I think to some extent, the Patriot Act has become a kind of fact on the ground. I mean, people might fiddle with it a little, but will we live without a Patriot Act? I think you're right. I don't think that even a Democratic president and a Democratic Congress could totally roll back what's happened in the last few years. That's just my...
What do you think, Peter, if they're not going to roll that back, how is, as we as Democrats and progressives, should we take that?
Well, I think that we have to be prudent and take what we can get, and also demand more than we're being offered. And that's why I feel that we need to keep our powder dry at the moment. Let's keep in mind that Nancy Pelosi has not been sworn in as Speaker, and that some of what's going on, some of the angling and the messaging, is, in my view, premature. I, as you know, support the concept of impeachment, but I think that progressives are banging their frying pans a little bit loudly right now, before Pelosi has even, gotten the drapes installed and gotten into that office. So I think that we should have a little patience here. Bill Maher ran a spoof commercial at the beginning of his show on Friday night on HBO, where he, it was from the point of view of a Republican attack ad, and it said the Democrats, they've had 3 days, and they haven't done a damn thing. And I do think that we should have a little bit of patience here, which is not to say that we should swallow everything that they try to feed us. Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah, the one thing I do think is I think that this election has opened some space for other voices. I mean, it's clear at this point that on Iraq, for instance, you're completely right. Right now, what's going to happen has to be minimal because the Democrats could just block a few things in Congress. But I think there's an opening when the Democratic Congress comes in for, a peace movement or whatever to on the Iraq war to exert a great deal more pressure for us to actually get out of Iraq. And I think what's going to happen in Iraq is going to make it far, it's going to be catastrophic, and it's going to make it far easier for us to do so, because the kinds of plans that the Iraq Study Group is talking about really are, you know, I lived through the Vietnam era, and in all those years, there were what I used to call non-withdrawal plans. All these plans that were claimed, we're now talking about redeployment. They were redeployment plans in which there was no actual intent to truly get out. And most of the plans being discussed right now are very much along those lines.
We're talking with Tom Engelhardt. He does TomDispatch.com, and his new book is out in softcover and a recommended read. It's a collection of interviews with important progressive thinkers and dissenters. It's called Mission Unaccomplished from Nation Books. We're going to take a quick break and return. You want to join us? Grab a line, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372 on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Down in Monterey.
And take a look at traffic on this wet afternoon as you folks make your way home. Let's give you the very latest. Let's start off with a situation working in, we're going to tell you that in San Jose we have a problem we're going to tell you about. Bascom Avenue, Camden, injury crash, two vehicles. Looks like the roadway may be shut down. Monterey, northbound one at Moonrus, we have an accident on the right shoulder, two vehicles. And Salinas, Old Natividad at Old Stage Road, injury crash. It's in the final clearing stages with a vehicle that apparently collided into a tree. And let's take a look at Highway 17. Everything looking good there. No major, no stalls or accidents to report at this point. And this report is brought to you by the folks at Mattress Discounters. Hurry into Mattress Discounters today on approved credit. Make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest till 2008. Mattress Discounters, quality brands, discount prices every day.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Our guest is Tom Engelhardt. Visit his website, TomDispatch.com. Pick up the new paperback, Mission Unaccomplished, a series of interviews with powerful American dissenting voices that you should hear. And with our musical theme of the moment from Chris Rea, that's The Road to Hell. Tom Engelhardt, if Iraq is the road to hell, is it paved with 14 permanent American bases?
At least, I would say, five major ones, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are, right now, Rumsfeld, of course, he's gone now, but his last figure was that there were 55 American bases of every size in Iraq. But the big ones, there probably aren't, there probably maybe six. I mean, when you're talking about bases the size of American towns with multiple bus routes, with two PXs, with Burger Kings and mini golf courses. Yes, I mean, this is, they're not called permanent bases. At one point they were calling them enduring camps, which sound kind of charming, but they represent a kind of a permanency that's going to make it hard for us to get out of Iraq, as will the new billion-dollar embassy that we're building in the middle of the green zone in Baghdad, which has its own anti-missile system.
And, Tom, the bases fly directly in contradiction with legislation from the House and Senate that says there shall be no permanent bases.
Well, there are no permanent bases because they don't call them permanent bases.
Oh, it's that language thing.
It's all language. You know, the Bush administration, I like to say that we've never had an administration in history that reached faster for their dictionaries, which is really true. They spend an enormous amount of time trying to redefine words like torture out of existence.
Right. One other item, and then we got a couple of callers who want to talk with you, Tom. Jack Murtha has been a powerful voice in trying to change the policy related to Iraq. He is running for the number two House post under the new Democratic leadership, but he is tainted by serious ethical problems. His brother has received great benefits through earmarks that the congressman has authored. And he seems oblivious to the concerns about the old boy pork barrel style politics that got his neighbor, Kurt Weldon, bounced out just last week. Yeah. What's your take on a Murtha majority leader? Is that good for the Democrats, or is he going to be a target on corruption issues?
You know, actually, I don't know. I mean, he's an interesting guy, because the other probably larger thing you could say about him is, until he was shocked, he's an ex-Marine, he spent a lot of time in hospitals, and he clearly was moved by what was happening, you know, to Americans without much notice in Iraq. And that did move him to change and act, and that's impressive in any human being. On the other hand, he was a man who never saw a weapon system that he didn't want to buy for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, earmarks went with it, of course, because that's the system. But I'm not honestly, beyond that, I'm not honestly sure of the two guys. I don't know what to think myself. I think my answer might be that I consider Iraq such a crucial question, and I consider his position to be about the best among any of the major Democrats, that I think I would prefer to take my chances with him, because I think if this administration is not finally pushed to actually decide they're going to leave those bases, they're going to leave Iraqi oil, and they're actually going to leave the country, I think it's hopeless for the Iraqis, it's hopeless for us, and it will be an unbelievable roiling catastrophe, and sooner or later it'll really hit the global economy. So
let's go to Barbara in Cave Creek. Thanks for calling. You're on the air, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Go ahead.
Well, I just noticed something. I have 2 points I wanted to make, that most of the wars between Israel and the Arabs happened during Republican administrations, other than the Six-Day War. Everything else is 56, 70, 73, and 82. And it just seems that they don't seem to do anything about creating peace at those time periods. I mean, I just noticed that.
Well, that's an interesting analysis, Barbara.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Six-Day War, but it took 6 days. The other thing that I also find, that I'm 53 years old, and I remember the gas crisis in the 70s under Nixon, and everybody standing in lines. And then I remember in 1980, the Iranians captured, they took prisoners in the embassy. And then in the 80s, for some reason, we are now selling weapons to this enemy to fight Iraq, and these are the same boys who worked for Nixon, who worked for Reagan, who worked for Bush, who probably are keeping their secrets amongst themselves by appointing somebody like Gates.
Mm-hmm.
And It just smells of backdoor dealings.
You're right.
Now
Gates had to be a party to the tilt toward Iraq in the 1980s.
But what scares me is that they seem to make Iraq safe for the Iranians. And I've said this since the day we walked in. They're clearing the field so Iran can take over Iraq.
Parts of Iraq.
Yeah, no,
absolutely. You're quite right. I mean, they've done everything that they claimed they weren't doing. I mean, it's a great irony.
I don't think it's an irony. I think it's just, I mean, let's like open our eyes and see. And they're making sure that they're poking all of Israel's enemies instead of creating any kind of peaceful. Yeah, I mean, Golda Meir used to dress up like an Arab man. And they used to take her across the border to Jordan to have peace negotiations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Barbara, I'm tight for time, but I appreciate your thoughtful call today. Now we go to Joe in Phoenix. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Thank you. Interesting conversation, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, Peter, I agree with you 1,000% on that Stalinist act, as you put it. That just really goes to the core of our civil and constitutional rights. By the way, I've been an attorney for 35 years, don't hold that against me, primarily in criminal law.
Mm-hmm.
And as a reserve officer, I retired as a JAG colonel, so I understand military law. Yeah. And I'm just outraged the way this administration has played games with wordsmithing and the idea of torture. I would never believe in my lifetime that I would see the President of the United States stand up and be advocating to Congress all the reasons why he should be able to have torture and be exempt from any prosecution for it.
Amen, Joe. It was such a sordid sight to see John McCain trying to negotiate with these guys over torture and getting skunked in the process, and he won't even admit it. He turned around and voted for the MCA. Go ahead, Tom.
You know, I was just going to say that one curious thing about the president's post-election good news, bipartisan, you know, good-feeling press conference that nobody noticed. I wrote about it at the Nation website today. He had a line where he basically swore fealty to torture.
Mm-hmm.
It was euphemistic. He said where in the end he disagreed with the Democrats was that he felt, unlike them, that we had to give the tools to the professionals. And this is just a euphemism for torture and, of course, the NSA wiretap.
Tom Engelhardt, thank you very much. The book is Mission Unaccomplished.
This is Laura Pruneta, Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush says he's looking forward to the report from the Iraq Study Group led by former Secretary of State James Baker and former Congressman Lee Hamilton. Mr. Bush met with members of the group today.
I'm not going to prejudge the Baker Commission's report. I was pleased to meet with him. I was impressed by the quality of the of their membership. I was impressed by the questions they asked.
Tomorrow they'll talk in a video conference with British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Pressure is building on Capitol Hill for a change of course. Incoming Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says Iran and Syria need to get involved.
It's a regional problem. Let's talk about this regionally. It is more their problem than our problem. They have more to lose or win than we do.
And Democratic Senator Carl Levin, who will chair the Armed Services Committee, calls for phased redeployment of U.S. troops after giving the Iraqi government 4 to 6 months' notice. When President Bush goes to Vietnam later this week, he wants to bring something for his hosts, a permanent normal trade relations bill. But late today, the House failed to pass that bill. It's not clear whether supporters will try again. The State Department today dropped Vietnam from its list of nations that severely violate religious freedom, but officials claim the decision is not linked to the president's visit. He's already been traveling the country. Now, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani has tipped his hand, forming a presidential exploratory committee for 2008. No surprise, says CBS News political consultant Dottie Lynch.
Giuliani actually leads in some of the trial heats for president right now. Part of that is name recognition. A lot of it has to do with 9/11. But he and John McCain are really the two big Republican frontrunners.
McCain is also starting an exploratory committee. On the National Mall in Washington. Joyful music at the ceremonial groundbreaking for the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. President Bush said the slain civil rights leader will take his rightful place between Jefferson and Lincoln. Oprah Winfrey was there.
Looking backwards, we give the gift of honor to Martin Luther King Jr. and all those who worked and struggled with him for the cause of human dignity and the cause of freedom. Yet we gift as well generations who will come after us.
Because of King and other civil rights pioneers, Winfrey said her voice can be heard. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports this is orientation week for newly elected members of Congress.
The House freshmen are sitting through some long how-to sessions on subjects like ethics rules and organizing their offices and constituent services. Formal orientation for senators comes later, but the 10 new senators are all in town, too, since both House and Senate hold leadership elections this week. The freshmen in the House have their formal picture taken tomorrow morning, and then on Friday draw lots to see who gets the best offices.
On Wall Street, the Dow picked up 23 points to close at 12,131. The Nasdaq 16 points higher at 2406. This is CBS News.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
The health effects. That's what concerns me.
Last night, Brian went to PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
There's a lot of information there, but for me it all came down to this. There is no safe cigarette.
Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. If you'd like more information on the health effects of smoking, as well as links for smokers who've decided to quit, find out more. Visit PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Last week, the San Francisco 49ers announced plans to leave town, and today, the city gave up its bid to host the Summer Olympics in 10 years. KCBS Radio's George Harris has the story.
The dream was to build a new 80,000-seat stadium for opening and closing ceremonies for the 2016 Olympics. But when ownership of the 49er football team announced plans to move out of San Francisco, hopes were dashed.
We've damaged our reputation. We've damaged the image of San Francisco in this bid process.
Chicago and L.A. remain in the race to represent the U.S. in international competition to host the 2016 Olympics. George Harris, CBS News, San Francisco.
Next April, the U.S. Olympic Committee will decide which American city will compete with others around the world. Gay marriages break up, too. Christy Chung and Lancey Wu, the lead couple in a case challenging California's ban on same-sex marriage, are dropping their names from the lawsuit. They've split after 18 years as domestic partners. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game opens to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
And we launch another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from San Francisco and produced by Matt Renner. We're heading into the free speech zone, where your calls and comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Get on the line now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I want to play this song by Chumbawamba for my good neighbor Hank. He's a great guy, just happens to be a Republican. So Saturday morning, I was taking a stroll up the street, and Hank popped out of his house. And you could tell he felt the thumping that Republicans got last week. And he said, "Oh, Peter, you taking a victory lap?" And I said, "Well, Hank, I don't gloat. But at your suggestion, at your insistence, yeah, I'll take another victory lap. It's feeling real good." And the name of the CD that this song by Chumbawamba appeared on is called Tub Thumping. So that's for Republicans everywhere. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, and your calls and comments are welcome this entire hour. No guests scheduled, so it's all callers, and I'd like to hear from you on any of the things that we've been discussing today. The media, Bush's lie about when he was going to fire Rumsfeld, the comments you heard from Tom Engelhardt last hour about the enduring bases in Iraq. We talked with Matt Rothschild of The Progressive about the detention camps that are being constructed by Homeland Security under a no-bid contract that they gave to Halliburton, and lots of other things that are in the news. So feel free to call us and comment on the things that matter to you at 888-5-PETER-B. I want to thank Nick in Arcata, who called the program earlier today and referenced an item that he said Tom Hartman had talked about, which I had not heard this morning, and that is that there is a bill that has now passed both the House and the Senate unanimously, and it is called the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. Now, we know about this because it is being trumpeted in a press release from California's senior senator Dianne Feinstein, and I got as many releases from her today as I did a week ago when she was, you know, in that hotly contested race for re-election. Not? Anyway, it reads, Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma, chair of the Environment and Public Works Committee, together with Senator Dianne Feinstein, a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, today hailed the House of Representatives' passage of bipartisan legislation that will enhance the effectiveness of the Department of Justice's ability to prosecute animal rights extremists who cross the line and utilize violence and terroristic threats while expressly preserving the First Amendment rights of animal rights activists to peacefully protest and boycott lawfully. Now, Feinstein says that she supports this legislation in an effort to preserve the biotech, biomedical industries here in California and keep them from going to India or China, where those who protest the testing on animals would presumably be subject to more stringent law enforcement activities. And I have mixed feelings about this, because I'm one of those people who believes that animals deserve every protection that humans can offer them. But I draw the line at saying explicitly that animals have, quote-unquote, rights. I don't believe that animals have rights the way humans have rights. And I do support the ethical use of animals in medical laboratories. That said, I recognize that there are many people who are very hardline and passionate activists on behalf of animals, who do believe that animals have rights, and who believe that by, you know, throwing a stink bomb at a biotech company, or even more significant acts of violence or criminal behavior, is justifiable. Now, I do not condone radical, law-breaking activities of animal rights activists. But neither do I condone the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, because I think this is an invitation to abuse. I think it's an invitation for Homeland Security or the Justice Department or other groups to unlawfully investigate and interfere with the free speech rights and the assembly rights of people who wish to express themselves in defense of animals. So I'd like to hear your thoughts and take issue with me if you don't agree with my position that animals don't have rights. Take issue with Dianne Feinstein if you think this is a bad piece of legislation. 888-5-PETER-B is our number. My lines are open for you right now, so give us a call. Let me know what's on your mind. Lynn joins us first from Washington, D.C. Hello, Lynn. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. I'm a new listener, and I love your show.
Well, I love hearing from you. You just made my day, Lynn.
Mike Malloy brought me over to the station.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I love it. Listen, I heard your comment just now, and I appreciate that, but I don't mean to mess up your line of thought here.
Go right ahead.
My comment was on comments being made in regards to the military pulling out of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
No one, I have not heard arguments of what would become of this huge military complex that this administration is building. I haven't heard anything about that military complex in the mix whatsoever. Now, my suggestion would be that should we pull out of Iraq, that the complex be left or given to the Iraqis whose homes we have bombed. Turn the military complex into a housing complex.
Hmm. Well, I think that's interesting. I'm not quite in a position to say whether that's a practical solution as to whether, for example, forward base Falcon has housing units. Certainly there are barracks for troops, and, you know, for short term, there are certainly many displaced individuals in Iraq who could benefit from having a roof over their head and
exactly.
a secure environment to live in.
Exactly.
I think the bigger picture, though, Lynn, is that we, number one, we need to disclaim any interest in keeping U.S. troops in Iraq a day longer than necessary, a day longer than invited by any legitimate Iraqi government.
I don't think they will do that because of that this building. I believe that that is the furthest thing from their minds, and that I think that they will do anything and everything to stay in Iraq. I really do, and mm-hmm. that's why I'd like to hear more conversation about that. How does this play into the mix
yeah.
of things?
Well, and clearly, we have devastated the landscape of Iraq. Oh. We use depleted uranium weapons and white phosphorus in Fallujah,
yes.
and we have a negative legacy that will be present in that country for decades, if not hundreds of years
that's
to come.
Right.
And so I believe we do have an obligation, but we cannot express that obligation through our military presence. And until we
right.
remove that irritant and end the occupation and permit Iraqis to determine their own destiny, we are going to be hobbled by our role as an occupier and a target for every group in Iraq. We are the unifying factor. Okay, the Sunnis, the Shias, the Kurds, and the renegades, whether they're al-Qaeda or otherwise, what unifies them is their opposition to the U.S. occupation.
Well, my hope is if we get the heck out of there, that they themselves will see fit. Oh, here's roof. We have a roof over our heads, you know. After all, they've been there thousands of years, and we're a baby. In civilization.
Mm-hmm. Lynn, I thank you for the call, and I invite others to comment on your thoughts.
Thank you.
Okay, great to hear from you in Washington, D.C. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, and we're going to go to a break and return for more of your calls. I wanted to throw out one other question, a little bit lighter, a little less life and death, but one that affects everybody who travels. Since the bogus carry-on liquid crisis that was fueled by the phony plot from England, do you know that of the 25 British people arrested in August around the so-called liquid bomber plot, that 15 have been released and the others do not appear to have been charged with serious crimes because they don't have the evidence to support it. Well, the blowback here in the United States is that during this period of heightened alerts at our airports, the airlines have lost a record number of your bags. It has increased by more than 30% since the beginning of September. And the worst offender is Atlantic Southeast Airlines, followed by Comair, American Eagle, SkyWest, Delta, U.S. Air, and we'll stop at ExpressJet Airlines. But it's a big mess out there. And if you've recently lost your luggage or had it lost for you, give us a call and tell us just your thoughts on how the system doesn't work. I've got lines open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372.
One airline had tanning, and this was the ad they ran. Fly safe. Naked Airlines.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
No laptops, well, laptops. And I'm feeling shy. Instead of metal detection, no clothing directions from the nude flight attendant, a guy. Damn. Fly safe.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's take a look at the latest. We're going to start off in Salinas. Zavalia at Alasila. Alasal, actually. We have a vehicle that hit a tree. The roadway could partially block. CHP should be on scene by now. We're going to take a look at Watsonville Airport Boulevard, the on-ramp to northbound one. A two-vehicle fender bender reported there, and CHP, in fact, is on scene. And we need to tell you a little about what's happening in Boulder Creek, Highway 9, south of 35 Skyline Boulevard. A solo vehicle went down the embankment about 20 feet off the roadway. CHP should be on scene. Fire department also being called out as well. This report brought to you by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes, convenient little packets that hold very big wipes to cleanse, cool, and soothe even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes, big relief to go. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues in the free speech zone. Give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind at 888-5-PETER-B. Listen carefully to this song.
To do tonight, and I believe in abstinence only, but I don't want to leave you lonely, so abstain with me, baby. All night long, come over and refrain with me, baby.
This is the ode to Republican values.
I'm gonna wanna jump your bones. I'm gonna have to dump that Jones. So come on now, get stoned in lover's lane with me. Abstain with me.
Just arrived yesterday, a new CD from a guy named Roy Zimmerman. And he's really clever. He writes great songs, has different styles, and that one is called Abstain With Me, all about the Republican abstinence programs. Very clever stuff. Roy Zimmerman will be with us later this week, Friday, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines available for you, 888-5-PETER-B, and Boots joins us from Eureka. Hello, Boots. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad, sir.
I'm calling in regards to California's prison fiasco.
Yeah.
In the last 25 years, our prison population has increased by over 400%, while the crime rate has dropped by 41%.
Mm-hmm.
And in California, I mean, we're facing such a huge budget problem with our prisons. I think it's time that everybody became really educated about what's behind it. And
what do you see behind it?
The California Correctional Peace Officers Association came into being in 1979-1980.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last two and a half decades, they've grown so powerful that they have the power to lobby in our legislature, and their power to do so, I'm sorry, is way stronger than any other lobbying body in our state.
Well, Boots, you're very well informed. Let me just commend you for that, because I don't think most people in California know about the CCPOA. And let me tell you that I am a staunch supporter of organized labor, and I am really offended by the way the Prison Guards Union operates, because they squeeze money out of every paycheck of every guard in the state every week, and they put it into their political fund. They used it to buy Gray Davis twice.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, Davis gave them sweetheart contracts that pay them in some cases more than highway patrolmen, protect them from investigation when allegations are made that they have abused the rights of inmates or otherwise broken the law. And this is a group that operates with great impunity. And it saddens me to say that when Arnold Schwarzenegger first took office, he was not in their pocket. And
he become so.
Well, Boots, I happen to know a number of inmates in the California prison system who I believe deserve to be released. And these are men who were sentenced in many cases 20 or 30 or more years ago with the possibility of parole. However, politically, that possibility of parole has been removed. It's never been legally taken away from them, but they just keep hiding the ball and playing games with people who deserve to be paroled. So, Schwarzenegger came into office, and in his first year, over 50 lifers, life inmates with the possibility of parole, were processed out under the ordinary terms of the Board of Prison Terms and the way it works. In essence, the governor accepted the recommendation of his board that these people deserve to be released. But as he headed into this election year, he stopped that.
Right.
And then his new chief of staff, Susan, Susan Kennedy.
Yeah.
She came into office. She is a Democrat who served Gray Davis. And Susan Kennedy brokered a new conversation or a new dialogue between the prison guards union and Governor Schwarzenegger. And son of a gun, he stopped allowing life prisoners to win their paroles through the ordinary process. He has blocked virtually every parole that has come before him during this past year. And what I believe happened is that the prison guards dangled the $10 million that they had in their political action fund, and they didn't use it. As far as I know, they didn't spend it on Angelitas or Schwarzenegger. But they threatened to do so if either one of those candidates got out of line from their point of view.
Well, look at what happened with Prop 66.
That was the three strikes reform.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. Under the proposed reform, it would have basically changed the law so that folks who received a third strike offense, that third strike had to be both serious and violent. Well, no, not both. They had to be either serious or violent.
Mm-hmm.
The CCPOA jumps on the media wagon and starts screaming that, telling our communities that if you vote for this reform and it passes, then thousands of murderers, rapists, and child molesters will be released back onto the streets.
Well, Boots, more than that. Schwarzenegger himself starred in the TV commercials that fronted a big lie. And the lie was that 26,000 dangerous murderers, rapists would be released to the streets. And it wasn't true. And there was a judge in Sacramento who had explicitly rejected that language when the opponents of the ballot measure tried to insert it in the voter guide. And so Schwarzenegger went on, demagogued the public with a lie, spent $3 million in a couple of weeks, and killed Prop 66. Boots, I got to run to a break, but I'm really glad you care about the prisons and that you're so well informed. Thanks for calling the show today.
Thank you for taking my call.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7. Every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and this is the Free Speech Zone. The First Amendment still lives, and you can speak out now. I've got lines open, 888-5-PETER-B. And this violates Rule 1 in the talk show radio host book, talk radio show host book, whatever it is. There's nobody on the line. And I tell you that to empower you to pick up the phone. It'll be a short wait if you call. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You want to talk about animal rights and the unanimous passage of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act? I'd like to talk with you. Has the one-third increase in lost luggage by the airline carriers affected you? Give me a call. Let me know. I have to say on that story, it always bothers me when I take a trip on an airline and you get to your destination and everything's worked out smoothly. You're on time, maybe even there a little earlier than scheduled, and you got to sit there and wait for your luggage. And I feel bad for the people who paid first class or business class rates, and they got to line up with the schmoes like me who only paid coach fares. So those are some of the topics we're working on, and my number is 888-5-PETER-B. Jake in Arcata, you haven't checked in a while. You're overdue. This story came across my desk today, and I confess that I rarely read USA Today. I find it annoying, the way it's kind of a dumbed-down newspaper, and I don't expect any original investigative enterprise reporting from USA Today. But there have been a couple of surprises this year as that newspaper has broken major stories. And one of them occurred last week. And it got lost in the waves of coverage about the elections. Do you remember the School of the Americas? It was established at Fort Benning, Georgia. And during the 1980s, under the Reagan administration, some of the worst people from Central and South America were treated to special training programs at the School of the Americas. And after the torture and the other activities promoted by American advisors and instructors at the School of the Americas, when these actions were actually carried out by their trainees, a backlash was produced, and the Congress passed restrictions that didn't actually close the School of Americas as progressives demanded, but did dial back their efforts. They changed the name of the School of the Americas, and they basically tried to make it go away from a PR perspective. Well, the Bush administration quietly in October issued a memorandum to the State Department that granted a waiver that allows the United States to resume training militaries from 11 Latin American and Caribbean countries. The administration claims the training will forge links with countries in the region and blunt the leftward trend. Daniel Ortega, you know about him. He was just reelected president of Nicaragua last week. And Evo Morales in Bolivia, Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, all obviously concern the Bush administration. That's why they're trying again to intervene in Venezuela's December elections to defeat Hugo Chavez. Well, the military training ban was designed to pressure countries into exempting U.S. soldiers from war crimes trials. The 2002 U.S. law bars countries from receiving military aid and training if they refuse to promise immunity from prosecution to U.S. service members, and the law allows presidential waivers. So the White House lifted the ban on October 2nd in a memo to Condoleezza Rice. The training is conducted in the United States. We don't know if it's occurring at Fort Benning or elsewhere. A ban on giving countries weapons remains, but we can train them. We're going to pursue this story. We've invited the Reverend Roy Bourgeois, who heads School of the Americas Watch, to come on our program as soon as he can to talk about this. And when he's available, we'll do that and tell you more about the intentions of the Bush administration to essentially reinstate the sordid history of the School of the Americas. To your calls we go. Rick in Monterey, thanks for joining us. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
First, Peter, I just want to thank you very much for the Voice of Reason coming out of the Central Coast. I chanced upon you not too long ago, flipping over from Air America, and really happy with you and Tom Hartman.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
The second question, and I don't know a lot about this, it's a little self-serving. I'm an acupuncturist, and it has to do with the codex laws that were being enacted to try to allow the FDA to regulate supplementation. And I don't know where it is with as far as the administration, or if there's bills in there now. It was accepted in the European Union, and now they're having all kinds of trouble. You want to go and try and buy calcium, you have to get a prescription for it.
Oh.
And I wondered if you had any information on where the codex regulations were as far as America.
I really don't. Is there a publication or a website you could recommend to us where we could get that information and pass it along to our listeners?
No, but I'll tell you what. I'll do a little Googling, and I'll call you guys back.
Okay. Or email me, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Sweet.
Okay.
Keep up the good fight.
I'll do that, Rick. Thank you. Now to Carolyn in Tempe. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, Carolyn.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
I was just looking up. I've still got a burr under my saddle, so to speak, and it's this Military Commissions Act of 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I have time and I'm breathing a little easier, I wanted to go look up who voted for that monstrosity.
Okay.
And so I looked up the senators, see where they're from, and the Congress people. There were 250 people in the House who voted for it. And I wanted to see which Democrats voted for it. There were 32 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that astounding. And I wanted to know, were they scared to death? I did read that some of them were afraid they would lose their election if they and be portrayed as weak on terrorism or something if mm-hmm. they voted against it. And so I looked through there. That's not what it looks to me. There are so many of these people that won by 68%, 73%, 85%, 68%, 66%, 58%, 66%. You know, there it wasn't even close.
Mm-hmm.
So now maybe they were just buffaloed. But also, I look at the senators who voted for it, and there were 12 of them,
right.
Democratic senators.
You're right.
And so I thought, you know, and I looked, well, when are they up for re-election?
Mm-hmm.
And there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them that aren't up for re-election for another 2 or 4 years or more.
Well, Carolyn, let me make a couple of comments. First
yeah.
of all, it really is something significant to me that you called to talk about this, because I think that this is the most important issue on our political plate right now. And it struck me, the religious writer of the New York Times wrote a piece that touched on something that was kind of an aha moment for me, and this was published in the Times over the weekend. And the headline reads, "A topic in the air, but one that political candidates decline to touch, torture of prisoners."
Uh-huh.
And get this is not Maureen Dowd or Frank Rich or Paul Krugman or one of the fine people on the op-ed page, which is where this should have appeared and much sooner. But this is the religion writer saying, aha, religious people in this country noticed that there was no debate in this midterm election over the most draconian, barbaric legislation to clear Washington in my lifetime. So I don't have the list of the House votes. It's across the room here, and during the next break, I'm going to get it, and I'll read those names for you.
I have it.
Okay.
But you can get yours.
All right. Well, I'm disappointed to tell you that Sherrod Brown, the new populist Democratic senator from Ohio, voted for it in the House.
I know, and I know why, too.
Tell
he
me
was
why.
Scheduled. I heard that he was scheduled to be on television immediately after that vote was taken.
Mm-hmm.
And he evidently was afraid that he was going to be characterized as weak
soft on
terrorism.
Yeah.
And I think what he was thinking, I don't know about the rest of them, but I believe what they were thinking was that they needed to get elected first, and then they would repeal it.
Mm-hmm.
And it darn sure better be what they're thinking.
Well, and
I'm going to be on the warpath.
I'm with you, and I'll forgive Sherrod Brown if he does lead the charge or at least join in an effort to modify this awful legislation. But for now, let me just mention the Democrats in the Senate who voted for it. After the break, we'll come back and ding the Democrats in the House. Senator Carper of Delaware, Johnson of South Dakota, Landrieu of Louisiana and Oil and Gas, Lautenberg of New Jersey, Lieberman, Menendez of New Jersey, the Nelson brothers, who aren't actually brothers, of Florida and Nebraska, Pryor of Arkansas, Rockefeller of West Virginia, that's unforgivable as well. He's going to chair the Intelligence Committee.
Right.
Salazar of Colorado, also hard to process. He's a former attorney general of that state. And then Stabenow of Michigan, who did win re-election, and I hope she will repudiate her vote now that it's safe to do so. So I really appreciate your input on this, Carolyn, and will you keep agitating, please?
Oh, absolutely, because this is just the first order of business in my mind, and it will allow us, if we put this up, will allow us immediately to identify the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
In my mind.
Thanks a lot for checking in today. Now to Mildred in Coos Bay, listening on KBBR. Hello, Mildred.
Hi, Peter B. I am calling because I'm concerned about the impeachment issue,
mm-hmm.
and I've been hearing on your program and other programs how people say we should do it now, or we should wait, or not do it at all. And I was trying to think, what is the strategy of the Democrats? And if I was an elected, you know, official, I would consider getting as much stuff passed that the Democratic Party wants passed, you know, in their agenda, and table the impeachment stuff overtly, but work on it in committees. I know that Waxman and Conyers have done a lot of prep work for impeachment of George Bush, and it would seem to me that if the Democrats want to do something, plus block any repulsive Republican agendas, they would have to keep impeachment in the background, but continue to work on it and prepare for it. What's your idea of democratic strategy on this issue?
Well, I can tell you have a measured approach to this, and I appreciate that. The first thing is I'd repeat what I said a few minutes ago, which is we ought to wait until Pelosi's actually sworn in to start beating up on her from the left or the right.
I agree.
And just allow the agenda to develop and the chemistry to be played out. I am dubious about the current charm fest, love fest, the olive branches that are being extended, mostly by Democrats, because I don't believe the Bush administration will reciprocate. And if they do, I'm willing to, you know, follow along here with civility and a bipartisan approach. But that does not, in any way take impeachment out of the picture, in my view.
I agree.
I want full accountability. I want to know the truth. And if we have those in place, I believe that the process will take care of itself. And that if accountability, if the process of truth-seeking reveals what we think it will about the way the Bush administration lied to us, manipulated intelligence, broke the law related to wiretapping and the detention of individuals at Guantanamo and elsewhere, if that is borne out, then I believe that Republicans would have no choice but to embrace impeachment. And we need to again define our terms here. Impeachment is the process where the House of Representatives returns the equivalent of an indictment against a sitting official, in this case the president and or vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And that indictment does not guarantee that they will be removed from office. That's the work of the Senate after an impeachment is returned by the House.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe we should fear the process. I believe we should embrace it. And if the evidence leads us there, and if the evidence is supported by Republicans as well as Democrats, then the process will go forward of its own accord. What I don't like is to see Democrats artificially intervening at this early stage and saying impeachment is off the table. And I also don't believe that investigations or impeachment will block progress in the House or the Senate. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. So thank you for your call from Coos Bay. Those are my thoughts, and I'd like to hear more from you. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, and you can call in right now here in the Free Speech Zone.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I mean, tell people why I say, I mean, is it, raise a little hell,
Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Taking a look at traffic, and let's give you the very list. Well, we're just going to tell you about a crash being reported in, well, let's go as our traffic page updates here. And CHP telling us that we do have a problem. It is in the Boulder Creek Highway 9 south of 35 Skyline Boulevard. This is a solo vehicle that went off the roadway, and CHP, in fact, on scene there. Also want to take a look at Salinas Zabala at Alisal. We have an accident. A vehicle hit the tree. The roadway still partially blocked. Airport Boulevard, the on-ramp to northbound 1, that is in Watsonville. We have a two-car crash involved in an accident there. And let's also take a look at a problem in Santa Cruz. It looks like Highway 1 at Dymo Lane. We have an accident right on the right shoulder. It's a solo vehicle crash. Prunedale, San Miguel Canyon Road at Prunedale North, fender bender right shoulder, and two vehicles on the roadway there.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Welcome to the show they named after me. And over the weekend, I did a major paper purge here at the secret studio and office in the worldwide headquarters of the Peter B. Collins Show. And I purged about three crates of documents. And I am sorry to report that the list I saved on the military commissions bill is of the Senate vote. And somewhere in my recycling is the House vote. And I'll just have to turn that over to Carolyn in Tempe, because she is the holder of that information. Up next, we go to Ben in Monterey. Ben, thanks for holding. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Well, I want you wanted to talk about the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I think it's a great piece of legislation.
And why is that?
Well, because I fear ideologues, whatever stripe they may come from, and I'm afraid that that as much as I'm afraid of neocons or theocons, I'm equally afraid of a lot of animal liberation rhetoric, and I think the actions of Shaq in the case in New Jersey, et cetera, were way beyond the pale, and so this is necessary legislation to rein in extremism.
Why are current laws insufficient?
Well, because as the law was originally passed, it had no real teeth or no real enforcement. Before the case in New Jersey, the trial last winter in New Jersey, the Shaq trial, it had never really even been tested.
Well, I'm not a legal expert, and I'll concede that at this point. But I have to tell you that I cannot see the need for additional laws related to these types of activities, because they're clearly illegal already. And my impression is that this bill will simply give Homeland Security and the Department of Justice greater latitude in violating the rights of individual suspects who they, accuse of these kinds of crimes. And again, I do not condone any kind of violent acts or efforts to, violate the property rights of companies or universities or other entities that conduct research using animals. But I also think that this is overkill, and the fact that this passed unanimously gives me great pause.
Well, I think the fact that it passed unanimously actually speaks to its necessity. Obviously, very few people felt that it was unnecessary.
Well, that's your interpretation, and I can't prove that wrong. But I'm gonna, this just came over this afternoon during the program, so I will research this further because I want to satisfy myself about the actual elements of the law and why these new elements are necessary, because thus far I'm not persuaded that that's the case.
Nope.
All right. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate
you.
Your call. Always nice to hear from you. We go to Larry in Phoenix. Hi, Larry. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that, but you're welcome.
I know. I'm so used to it. I wanted to talk about the prison crowding.
Uh-huh.
And a caller earlier said that there was that the crime rate was down, but the prison population was up
over a 20-year period.
Oh, okay, over a 20-year period.
Yeah,
but
his figures were accurate.
Yeah, I know a lot of the reason for people ending up in prison is trouble with the drugs, especially the methamphetamine.
Yes, indeed.
And I married into a crime family, and the way they got the people to work in the drug labs was they took them when they were getting ready to get out of prison,
mm-hmm.
especially groups like Daring and Brotherhood.
Yeah.
They would just, because the people were already clean,
mm-hmm.
they were already convicted felons, so if they tried to blow the whistle on them, they could discredit them pretty good.
Right. And those are people who don't have much job opportunity when they're released from prison, so they are yeah. often sitting ducks for the drug crime units. Yeah.
But when they went to work in the labs, they would only be allowed to work for 2 years because in 2 years they would be so crazy from the drugs that they would no longer be able to function with other people in a work environment,
and they would
just be destroying themselves. And
so they'd get to work for 2 years and then they're disposable.
Well, then they would just be put out to where they kind of worked independently as distributors, which was nowhere near as lucrative as working in the labs.
Mm-hmm.
But then over a period of 7 to 10 years, most of them were dead.
Yeah.
And that's something that people who are sitting around in prison listening to your show, it might be good for them to know that. It might save mm-hmm. their lives.
Yeah. Well, our show is heard at prisons in California, at Soledad, and also at the Pelican Bay facility near Crescent City.
Yeah.
So if the guys are listening today, my shout-out to you.
I wanted to say something about Sheriff Joe here in Phoenix. He's got his tents that in the summertime, the temperature has been recorded at 141 inside the tents where the mm-hmm. people have to be.
Yeah.
And I was watching a show on PBS about chimpanzees, and they shut down the facility because two chimpanzees died when the temperature in their enclosure got up to 140 degrees and they died.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people should compare that to what's going on with Sheriff Joe here because he's, in some ways, I feel like he's running a death camp, and you know, there's a lot of controversy around it.
Yeah, I've read about him. I've never been a client at Sheriff Joe's prisons, but he's a very tough guy and seems to go well beyond the law from what I've been able to gather. Thanks for your call today. I appreciate it. Got room for one more. It's Tristan in Michigan. Hi, Tristan.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about the Military Commissions Act, and specifically I wanted to condemn my senator, Debbie Stabenow, who mm-hmm. voted yes on that and has taken a series of what I would call bad positions on various issues.
Yeah. Tristan, I agree with you. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the show. Trigger's here, and I got to saddle up and ride off into the sunset. But would you call me back tomorrow so we could discuss this at more length? Because I'd like to hear your perspective on why Debbie Stabenow voted for the Military Commissions Act.
Sure.
All right, Tristan, thank you very much. And thank you for listening to this program today. I'm Peter B. Collins. My producer, Matt Renner, thanks you, too. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations. I hope you'll join us then.
To you. Keep smiling until then.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
The carnage continued in Iraq today. At least 90 Iraqis died, including 11 killed in the suicide bombing of a minibus, and the U.S. military announced the deaths of four more American troops. In Washington, the Iraq Study Group is finishing up its work. Members questioned President Bush today.
I was pleased to meet with him. I was impressed by the questions they asked.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. The 90-minute session with the president gave the panel a chance to question Mr. Bush one last time before putting forward its recommendations later in the year. But following the session with the president, the 10-member bipartisan group was hearing from Mr. Bush's closest ally in Iraq, British Prime Minister Tony Blair, who has made clear his view that more progress can be made in Iraq if Iran and Syria are brought into the process.
The trend is downward. The trend is negative. The trend is into a deeper and deeper ditch.
Michigan Democrat Carl Levin will chair the Senate Armed Services Committee next year. He wants to redeploy U.S. forces after giving the Iraqis 4 to 6 months' notice.
We've given them an opportunity. They've got to seize it. We can't jam it down their throat somehow or other by staying there, protecting them from themselves.
What went wrong at the very beginning? In an exclusive interview with CBS News correspondent David Martin, outgoing Marine Commandant General Mike Hagee, who commanded the 1st Expeditionary Force during the run-up to the war, says he asked his bosses repeatedly how Iraqi cities would be secured once the Marines took them.
What was the answer he got back?
Well, that there was, we would hand those towns over to someone after we went through.
And someone was?
Undetermined at that time.
Peggy says it never was determined. Young women might want to think twice about having a burger for lunch and a steak for dinner. A new study suggests a link between large quantities of red meat and a common type of breast cancer in premenopausal women. Researchers think it has to do with the hormones given to cattle. Dr. Julie Gerberding at the Centers for Disease Control says it's not too late to get a flu shot, and that's just as well because while there's plenty of vaccine, it isn't available everywhere right now.
The manufacturers and the distributors have said that they are making every effort to provide partial shipments and to distribute the vaccine as quickly as it's becoming available.
If you get influenza, your doctor might prescribe Tamiflu, but CBS News